someone's going to get offended. It's just the way the world works. So to hopefully save everyone a little time and or energy, here's this. The opinions that you hear are those of the host and callers, and not those of iHeartMedia, its management, or advertisers.
The Monsters in the Morning. Monsters in the Morning. Monsters in the Morning.
You're out of luck doing this.
Hey, you're one of the best, you got the best on a talk show in the morning anywhere in the country. It's the Monsters of the Morning on Real Radio 104.1, and we are broadcasting live all over the world on iHeartRadio. I've been hearing from a lot of you lately. I love it. The Monster shout-outs from the Monster family. I appreciate that. If you're in a particular part of the world, you want us to know where you're living. Doesn't matter if it's right here in Central Florida, the South, anywhere. It doesn't matter. Go ahead and email me, russ@wtks.com. I'll try to do some more shout-outs today. And we appreciate it. You can check us all out on our website at monsters.fm. That's monsters.fm. It's the springboard for everything we're doing is monsters.fm. What's up, guys? I'm Russ Rollins. I'm the host of the program. With everyone this morning, we're going to do this until around 11 o'clock. Here's the GOAT repping champion of Palaga, Florida, Dirty Jim.
Hello.
Our producer is Angel LaBoom, Angel Rivera. And to my right is Mr. Motivation, Carlos Navarro.
To the top, never slap, baby.
Hey, we love it when you text us. Texting us is great. It's interactive. That's what's great about live talk radio is it's happening while you're happening. While you're driving around, we're sitting right here talking to you. You can text us at 77031. That's 77031. Many times we will text you back or just read what you said on the air. And, we do our best. There's hundreds and hundreds that come through, but we try to get to you whenever you text us. You can call the show a little bit later when we do trivia. 407-916-1041. I'll say that several times so you know how to call. And then emailing me, russ@wtks.com. A lot of those I'll read on the air a little bit later on in the show and be able to help you out if you need something, and all of us can give our opinion. It's russ@wtks.com on a beautiful Tuesday morning. Something happened to me last night that has never happened before. So if there's light in your room, does it wake you up? Even if you're like asleep, if a little light is going on or a light goes on.
You mean like from the cable box or something like that?
I know there were some people. I think one of you guys, so you cover up the cable
electrical
box.
Electrical tape, yeah.
Yeah, we all do. Yeah,
absolutely.
I do too, yeah. So, no, but last night, I don't know, we've said it before, but not to reiterate it, so we're not going to say it again, but behind where I live, there's a parking lot, and so I wake up probably like 2:30 in the morning, and there are lights going on in my house, and I thought there was like a breach. A UFO was landing or something. It was hitting, the light was hitting just, you know when you have those, you'll have a window, and then above the window, you have one of those little things that's just
a balance.
It's like a window, but you can't open it. You can't.
Oh yeah,
close
yeah.
It
I know what you're saying. There's a word for it. I can't know. Yeah, yeah. It's like a little half moon window. They have it over doors a lot.
Yeah, that's blocked out as well. But for whatever reason, some light was just hitting just the right way, and it was hitting my fan, and my room looked like a disco. I mean, it was like red and blue and red and blue and black, and I'm like, what the hell? Are UFOs landing? I was a little bit delirious.
Yeah, right.
I'm half asleep,
right.
And it was hitting the fan just the right way.
Red and blue.
With all the contraptions that you fall asleep on, and the fact that you not only have your mask on, but you also put a pillow over your face.
No, the
light still got to you.
Every time you sleep, it looks like a murder scene.
I know. In my sleep, I usually pull my pillow off my head, and I just...
Just out of curiosity, I know. And I know that, and I've done this, God rest, I've done this 100 times, in a state of half awake, half asleep, don't know what the hell's going on. You always assume the weirdest things, but... I mean, red and blue lights, immediately UFO, no chance of a cop.
Wow. You're right.
I
would have been running to my closet, and it would look like the Goodfellas scene.
You know why, Jimmy? The way it hit the way these lights were going.
Megan!
And it was hitting the fan, because the fan is white, and this, so it was reflecting off that. The whole room, it was like a disc. It was like we were having a rave. And
UFO, huh?
And I'm like, there's gotta be a UFO. What's going on? And so I have to pull my mask off,
And then you pull the pillow off, and then you gotta put the choker off. And then you gotta pull the nipple clamps.
Then you gotta get Skrillex out of there.
I mean, you got some accessories, man.
I think it's easier for people to come in from being on a spacewalk than it is for you just to get out of bed.
But that's how people think UFOs. I mean, not blue and red. I mean, obviously that's more cop. But like, if it was a different reflection, if somebody wakes up like in the middle of some trailer, like, oh my god, aliens are hitting me. Oh my god, and then like that's
Carlos,
the story they tell, and it's literally just something else.
this is
they
different.
Must want my seed.
Yeah.
This is different life experiences, right? We would see that, and we instantly know, oh, that's Popo.
Yeah.
Russ sees that. UFO.
UFOs must be here.
No chance. That's a cop.
I'm butt ass naked.
If there is, I'll tell him about the UFO.
I'm white in a gated neighborhood. This is not supposed to happen.
Right. I'm like, what? I haven't seen a cop there. So I'm butt ass naked.
Never seen a cop there, except for when they come to see me.
When they tell me to turn down Neil Diamond because he's too loud.
When my dogs are dropping deuces in my neighbor's front yard.
So I go into the butt ass naked. What the hell's going on?
Too loud.
I go into the backyard and all of my trees are lighting up red and blue.
This sounds like the best party you've ever had.
I was freaking out.
I would be tripping right now.
And then I realized that I could hear the police were talking to some guy who was on the other side of the fence. But it was weird the way it lit up the entire house. I mean, it was weird the way it was like 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning.
How did it hit you? I thought you were thing over your eyes.
How did it get in there?
No. It just hit it just the right way because there was light. Okay. It was lighting up the trees, and so it gave a different look to the house the way it was lighting up. It wasn't like straight police lights. It was like a really weird.
I've had this happen, dude. Yeah, I mean that. By the way, that window. It's called a thanks, guys. Transom window.
Yes.
So if the light comes through there in any way, shape, or form, if it gets in and it gets just broken up by the fan, it causes that weird thing where it's at stop and start with your eye.
Yes.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
It was like, and I'm like, what is going on? I was tripping out.
Yeah, damn.
It was giving like a strobe light effect the house.
That seems cost effective.
In blue and red and all through the house. It was like the whole house was lit up on the inside. And I went out, when I went outside, all the trees were flashing like that. I'm like, what in the hell is going on? And then I could hear the police officer speaking to somebody.
Yeah, text in 77031. Remember, save that as real radio. Text all the shows because we absolutely love it. He goes, yeah, man, CPAPs and cops sounds like the worst rave ever.
So it's like, I'm like, it's 2:30, 2:45, and I'm like, I gotta get back to sleep.
You're juiced up.
I'm all juiced up. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna take some the Z-Quel.
At 2:45?
At 2:45.
What are you doing?
Because I wanted to get back to sleep to get up because I had to at least sleep till 4.
It's going to take 30 minutes for it to even kick in, and by then you have 30 more minutes before you have to get up.
Basically drunk right now.
Yeah, you're
yes!
Not.
Yes! That's the reason I'm telling you the story.
I walked in and I could sense there was something different about you because he wasn't his normal perkier Russy.
Well, no, I was. The first thing I said, this is a joke, right? Because I've been writing down all the shout-outs, and I was about, I'm reading them because some of the names are hard to pronounce, you know? And I'm reading this one, and it's like, okay, that one's Rosio Nunez from Puerto Rico. Okay, that's cool. And this one is Robert Stark, Lake Lickasnatchee, Georgia.
I was wondering when that was going to happen.
Wait a minute. That was not real.
I'm actually upset with our fans in a second that this long to do that.
I literally cannot believe. I remember saying to myself, well, this is going to go awry. It's only going to take about a day for people to go, well, this guy's going to read it every break going in and out. I'm going to start wrecking this dude.
Because it's amazing that all the fans of Monsters have the hardest names in the world. This one show.
They do. I know. You look at a lot of these.
And by the way, somebody text in going back to the whole thing with the cop. Have you guys noticed, and I agree with this guy 100%, the lights that they use on police vehicles,
now,
regardless of where you are now, are the brightest,
absolutely,
most penetrating, impossible not to see lights ever. I've been driving since I was 15 years old and been pulled over since I was 15 years old, and I never remember cop lights being this bad.
They're straight up disco lights, dude.
For miles at night. It's insane.
I would think they would give you a seizure. I know the recent movie, there was a movie, The Incredibles. They said there's some stuff that's giving people seizures. But,
oh, really?
But the lights I saw this morning... If I was susceptible to seizures, I could see where, because it was tripping me out. It was like, it was like a strobe light in different colors.
Castleberry PD was the first ones I saw, and I was driving up onto an incident, and I was like, what the hell is on with that? I thought that was somebody's custom car.
Yeah.
Like, I thought it was somebody got cute and put all these crazy lights and was driving, and that's what they got pulled over, and then it says Castleberry PD.
We were on I-4 the other night, and we were coming around those one vantage points where you can kind of take one of those curves up high and see for a while down I-4, man, it must have been 3 miles down the road because that one area where you come around down by Conroy,
yeah,
and you can see kind of downtown,
yeah,
like they were right in front of us.
Right.
And you know what? I don't understand the technology. How do you make it brighter?
It's exactly what you're saying. It was so super bright,
yeah,
that it illuminated every leaf on every tree in my back little porch area. My back porch area.
They caught every one of them.
Yeah, the trees are over this enclosed area, and I'm standing there. I'm like, oh my, I was freaking out. I was like, what the hell? It's like,
and then you took let's get to the real thing here. You took a Z-Quil at 2:45.
Holy smokes. Like,
dude, hey, the party's over, bro. Come off it. We're not going to find anymore. Either stay up.
I had to sleep, man.
But don't kick in another, downer.
Now, what time did you go to bed last night?
I went to bed at, we stayed up late. We stayed up late last
8:30?
Night.
8:30?
So I went to bed at 9:15.
Oh, maniac.
Partying hard, stayed up at 9:15, and then you were up at 2 because the disco lights?
You know, it's crazy, man. It's like the purge after 9.
We tried. It was a rough Sunday, you know, because we were, serving everybody. So we're just resting tomorrow. We're resting. Let's find a good movie to watch. She likes scary movies. I'm like, okay, that's fine. And there's one on Amazon. Don't watch it. It's an inhalant or something like that.
What kind of party were you doing?
With Natalie Portman?
Yes.
Oh,
crap.
You're saying it wrong, but I can't think of it.
Inhalation.
No, you're saying it wrong.
I think it's inhalation.
I don't think so. No, it's not inhalation.
I think it's inhalation.
If it's the same movie I'm thinking of.
You're just dreaming about another drug you want to try.
I think it's Annihilation.
Oh, is it Annihilation?
Same thing, Russ.
I thought it was Inhalation.
Annihilation. Inhalation.
Whatever.
Angel's
looking it up. I don't know.
It's Annihilation, dude.
Annihilation. Yeah. Okay. Whatever.
It's Inhalation. It's Inhalation.
No wonder you hated it.
It was terrible.
I know we have to go to break in a second, but I do want to ask Carlos about that. How big time stars wind up in movies that, not go straight to Netflix, but that basically they're like, wow, man, there's a giant star in this movie, and it's like one of those B-rated Netflix flicks.
Annihilation is not. It was actually...
It was a huge problem for this.
I'm not saying this one isn't, but on Netflix, you can see that. Like, what's that Brad...
Boring.
That Brad Pitt movie was in it just...
Yeah. That was a Netflix product. That was like... It was Army One where he played lieutenant.
Yeah, he played general or something. Yeah.
And then I tried to watch Blade Runner. Boring.
Hey, you want to really...
Boring. Yeah, Blade Runner was pretty boring.
So you know what we got stuck with? I'm like, you know what? I asked my wife, I said, have you ever seen... Because in Blade Runner, they had Robin Wright Penn. And I'm like, have you ever seen The Princess Bride? She's like, no. I'm like, okay, listen, we've seen two stinkers today. I can guarantee you're going to love this. So we started Princess Bride. She absolutely loved it. Laughed the entire time. That's the reason I stayed up till 9:30 because the movie was still on.
That's a litmus test of comedy, by the way.
I
believe that movie and movies like Airplane are litmus tests of comedy. It shows people what you actually find funny.
Anybody want a peanut?
Yeah. Also, there's another movie. We were looking for something like that because we've kind of exhausted all the scary movies that we think have any value on Netflix, but we found one last night. Tori went on the list and said, hey, find me the best movies on Netflix you haven't heard of, and let's watch them. Because we just like watching whatever. It doesn't really matter. And there was a movie called The Invitation. And you will know only one actor in it, and you'll only know him for the wrong reason.
It was good.
And it actually turned out to be a pretty cool little movie, but check it out.
I tried to find one that you guys said to watch the other day, Brain something. What was it you guys said?
Brain Party 3?
No, you'd said something about... Brain something, and I'm like, and I wrote it down.
Brain Games,
Pinky, and
people are saying Annihilation was good.
Yeah, a lot of people really loved. That's what I say. Critics loved it.
Mind Design.
I didn't
tell you that.
Somebody, I thought you said Mind Design.
Man, you're tripping, dude.
And then 16 Personality Test. What's this? Hey, what am I writing down there?
I don't know.
I wrote down Mind Design and 16 Personality Test. I thought
that's not us.
Honestly,
that's not on this show.
Your other show in Germany.
Yeah.
You guys told me to do that.
No, we did not.
That's not familiar to you.
It was a UFO.
Oh my God!
Mind Design and 16 Personality Test. I thought you said the personality test was on YouTube, and the Mind Design was a great TV show to watch.
Mind Design is just a tab off Pinterest.
What are you doing, dude?
I swear, that's what I thought.
I want to get out of this room. It's kind of freaking me out.
Oh, I got something to tell you.
No, it better be good.
It is good. It's something. Something came true yet last night.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll tell you what that is when we come back. You're listening to the Mantra of the Morning. From good morning. You're listening to Monster of the Morning on Real Radio 104.1. Here's a Monster Family shout out. Part of the Monster Family, Tim Hartshorn, who listens to us in San Antonio, Texas. He's an Uber driver, and he keeps us on while he's driving Uber.
Yeah.
He feels like he's got someone riding with him. I would suggest that. That's really cool. If you're actually in Orlando and you're an Uber driver, keep Real Radio on, because people that are from out of town or whatever, gives them a flavor of what Orlando's like. You know, they get to hear what's going on right here in the city that you're riding them around in. So I think that's pretty cool. Welcome back. I'm Russ Rollins, along with Dirty Jim, Angel, and Carlos. It's a beautiful Tuesday. I told you that something actually came true, and it's this. On the way in, I heard that in New York City, a woman was attacked by a pack of wild dogs.
See?
And did not have her knife on her.
Wow.
But yeah, a pack of wild dogs.
You laughed at me.
Don't hold your arms up like your point was proven. It was New York City.
Carlos has been laughed at me.
That's right.
I continue
this just happened. Didn't this just happen in like Tennessee or something, where a woman was killed by a pack of dachshunds?
Another pack of wild dogs.
Pack of dachshunds?
I swear.
I didn't think they could kill
God, I would kill the hell out of some dachshunds.
There's 50 of them.
This was in New York, and a woman was
I Am Legend.
You know, in New York, people pay people to walk their dogs. That's like a big thing. It's a big job. So this woman was walking
This is my nightmare you're citing.
About
here.
Eight dogs, and they happened to be, half of them were pit bulls or whatever. She's walking the dogs, and they start pulling, and they pull away from her, and like, oh my God, and the pack of dogs running down the street and just attack a woman.
God.
Imagine if you had had your knife with you.
And you know what I do? I got my knife.
Yep.
And I start stabbing.
Stab crazy.
That's
why. Oh my God. I love dogs.
Just
I have
swing
dogs,
stab.
But I'm like, this is it. This is my finals. You know, this is my moment.
Right. Right.
Am I going to be a LeBron or a J.R. Smith?
It's the only reason you carry a knife.
It's that. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
A woman in Oklahoma. Died after being attacked by a pack of small flea-bitten dogs, according to belonging to a neighbor. Tracy Garcia, 52, seven small dogs near her home outside of Ardmore, Oklahoma.
This is why
each dog weighed less than 40 pounds.
Oh, my God. This is why I tell people you should carry a knife on you. Just in case you're walking down the street. It's a beautiful day. You're walking da-da-dee-da-da-da. A pack of dogs turn a corner. Nobody else is there but you and them, and you are screwed.
It can happen. There's proof right there. It happened in New York last night.
She was 77 years old.
Okay. Well,
all right. For her, that was probably her preferred way to go out.
You know, there's a reason I don't tell all the details of some of these stories.
It's always so fun.
You didn't have to tell that part.
It makes me feel a little better. Well, Russ, thanks a lot. Angel, thanks. This is, okay, well,
I want him really on guard, Angel. I want him to really have to think about it.
I am on guard right now. I'm guard.
Okay, she was 77. But that's anyway. Hey, she was attacked by a pack of wild dogs.
Don't.
If you don't think Carlos is on guard for this, you don't know how he walks around here. He literally, when he says to us on the air that he anticipates walking around some corner in the great city of Orlando, and a pack of wild dogs waiting for him there, he firmly believes that.
Angel, you got more of a chance of it happening here in Orlando than you would probably in New York.
Apparently Oklahoma. They got rabid dachshunds riding around.
I looked up. I did a deep dive on dog bites. And they're horrific.
Yeah.
The accounts are horrific.
They are.
Dogs are our friend one moment. And then in the very next moment, they turn into these vicious beasts that have no stopping in them.
When I heard that story, they tailed this other story along with it, and I'm curious of what we predict at 9 o'clock. At 9 o'clock, Deborah Roberts comes in here, and Deborah Roberts has a show with Jimmy on Fridays.
Yeah,
and so Jimmy, you've talked to her a lot. Mm. We've talked to her a lot as well because she's been coming here for the past year or so. What do you think she's going to feel about this? And I think I might know, but I heard both sides of the issue, and I'm like, I wonder where Deborah Roberts is going to be. And it's this in the kennel racing. Really, the state of Florida is about the only place that still does it.
Is that true?
And it's been banned pretty much everywhere else, and there's a referendum or a vote in November to ban kennel racing, dog racing here in the state of Florida. And they had two people speaking, and one was like, "Well, you know, it's horrible the way they treat the dogs, and the dogs get treated so badly, and that's why it's terrible." And then someone on the other side, "Oh no, this keeps the breed still around. If we don't have the racing, the breed will probably go away. It's a wonderful breed of dogs, and they treat them so well, and these." dogs are having a great time. So
they're partying, man.
So it's two sides of the story.
They love it.
So where do you think, and also we'll be able to vote in November whether we want to get rid of dog racing or keep it around to keep the breed around. What do you think Deborah Roberts will say?
Well, can I speak on behalf as a Lyman Greyhound?
Yes, you can. I mean, that gives you better qualification than any of the rest of us.
He went to Lyman High?
Yep. our high school was literally next to the Greyhound
across
track.
The street. That's why they were the Greyhound.
Throw a rock from there and hit the Greyhound.
I know. And when I tell people that, they laugh and they go, "No, really." And no, I go, "No, really? We were named after the Greyhound track." So
yeah,
this
overflow
is...
parking is in the track parking lot.
That's
okay?
True. Yeah, yeah. But the gambling facility. Yeah.
So I know no different. Yeah, I've been maybe once in my life, and
so the Greyhound must be the fastest dog of all dogs.
It is.
Okay.
It is, and I love dogs. I know the prior conversation of me talking about stabbing dogs doesn't probably connect with that, but those were wild dogs.
Uh-huh.
No, the Greyhound, I don't know enough about it. If they're really being treated well, then let them race.
There are people that say that the dogs love this. They're treated like kings. Okay. It keeps the breed around. If you don't have the racing anymore, then the breed will die off.
And we can drink and gamble to it.
But they're odd looking dogs. But then there are other people that say
they're awesome.
They're made to keep them in a kennel for a week. And that way, if you keep them in a kennel for a week, when you let them out, they're really ready to run.
But, if you ever get a Greyhound in like a house setting, they're like their attitude is kind of like a crackhead. They're very skirmish.
Because they want to be running around.
No, yeah. But there's the Greyhound dog rescues, and they're really you get them into a house setting,
how many
they're
you
real docile dogs. I have a couple friends of mine that have done the rescue.
Really?
Yeah, a few of them in Baldwin. There's a guy that lived right down the street in my old house back in the day that I lived in probably 8 or 10 years ago. At the end of my street. That's what they did. They took in Greyhounds, and they adopted them out into loving
homes.
They're
awesome, man. They're fun to be around.
They look weird being
they're
walked.
They're very alien looking.
But they have a weird kind of walk to them.
So, Jimmy, do you think Deborah Roberts will be for getting rid of dog racing or
she would probably she'd want to get rid of it.
Get rid of it.
If I had to guess, and if I know Deb, she would probably find that to be an abusive act. The dog doesn't really have it. I'm not saying that they all have free will per se, but you know, my dog's in my house. They can lay wherever they want to do it. You know, pretty much do what they want. They have a set of a free will, but those dogs do not. Their life is pretty much running.
But I have a theory that if you have a Greyhound dog and you leave it in a little apartment or you leave it in a little house and you don't have a yard for it to run around, it's just like being in a kennel anyway. It's locked up in a small room.
You know who disagree?
Who that?
The Greyhound. the he's like, the Greyhound is like, our cages are tiny. This is a massive, giant apartment.
Yeah.
I can turn around twice in my cage. I'm pooping on the
carpet
right now.
And that's just being aware of any kind of breed, because there's types of breeds of dogs that you are encouraged to make sure that you walk them every day because they're very active. There's other kind of breeds of dogs that it's cool to let them lie around and everything. It's just being aware of the type of breed of dog that you buy or bring into your house.
Uh-huh. I have a theory. Other dogs watch the Greyhounds chasing that rabbit, and they're, man, I wish I could chase that rabbit. they're like, man, that looks like fun. They get to run all around the, man, that looks like fun.
But when they catch him, there's no payoff.
Well, they get
good boy.
They
good
get
boy.
Fed. Good boy. Good boy. Good boy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And the old pat, and you get to take maybe a doo-doo where nobody's just staring at you, wondering if that's going to make you run faster.
So, do you think they? So,
is that true?
Yeah, everybody used to think that if your dog went doo-doo before the race, that he was going to run faster.
Oh, that's funny.
So, do you think they should get rid of racing dogs in the state of Florida?
I don't know enough about it. I would say no. Just because.
But here's the thing, though. Coming in on the text in already. They're saying, I don't know if this is a really a big problem or whatnot, but for example, the same way that cockfighting is illegal, they think that if you take these establishments away, that the dog racing would go underground and the punishment or the maltreatment of these dogs would become infinitely worse.
Right. It's not going to go away. It's just going to go underground.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and I don't know how popular underground dog racing is.
I don't know how popular
underground cockfighting is.
Yeah,
and they
is
start,
it really?
Oh, dude!
Oh yeah, not Paca.
Orlando. It's Orlando, but we have the greater Orlando area, Kissimmee, BVL, those kind of areas out there, Buenaventura Lakes, all that, and the Loop, all that. There are some very well established centers of this. They shut them down every now and then.
Well, it's huge in Puerto Rico, and there's a huge Puerto Rican
influx
because
of Hurricane Maria.
Yeah, and so it makes sense. But a dog tracing rack—that is a whole different thing.
So if people think, and look, and someone's all mad, he's like, you don't know what you're talking about. No, we don't. I think we've said several times, we don't know what we're talking about. We're just talking from our limited knowledge on dog raising. This is what we know. So if you do know more, give us a call, 407-916-104, and stop being a little bitch on the Texas
Army.
See,
what happens when you don't get enough sleep? Yeah. Sorry. You are honoring.
Sorry.
Son of a bitch, I'll kill you.
So if you get rid of dog racing, do you believe you should get rid of horse racing? Because, I mean, it's animals racing. Is it the same thing, right?
I don't know. What do you think? Where do you think the greyhound weighs in on the fastest land animals on Earth?
Ooh.
Number three.
No.
Not quite that high.
Number eight.
It's shocking how fast some animals are that you'd never thought. Let me hit this. What do you think is fastest, a greyhound or an ostrich?
Ostrich.
Ostrich.
Greyhound. Ostrich by half a mile an hour.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Not much, then.
What do you think is faster, a greyhound or a coyote?
Ooh. Coyote's probably faster.
Greyhound.
Is he wildy?
Yeah.
Wildy.
About the same. What do you think is faster, a coyote or a greyhound or a red kangaroo?
But them red kangaroos are quick. Red kangaroo all day.
Red kangaroos a mile an hour faster. A greyhounds can run about 43 miles an hour. 43 miles an hour, and I think that's about the same as a thoroughbred, right?
Wait a minute. Does the kangaroo hop that fast, or does it run?
You got to remember, when they're hopping, they're covering 15-20 feet per stride. So
it's hopping that fast.
Imagine seeing that coming towards you.
And it says
with those strobe lights going.
And how about this? You know what it says?
Aliens are getting me.
The faster it hops, the less energy it actually consumes.
Oh, because it's almost flying.
It's flying. I mean, you're just, boom.
Like Superman.
Boom. Yeah. Man, wow, can you imagine? That must be fun to watch. I bet those strides are pretty darn high.
Yeah. And cheetah is the fastest?
Cheetah is the fastest in the 60-mile-an-hour range, for sure. Yeah.
So do we think people in the state of Florida are going to vote out the dog racing?
It sounds like an issue that people would kind of be like, yeah. You know, like they would just kind of vote against it.
Yeah. Because what I heard this morning, they said the state of Florida is where the most dog racing is, and it's one of the last places where it's still legal, and they're trying to make it illegal. Okay. Oh, we got some calls? Okay, let's see. These people might know a little bit more about it than we do. I don't know. Maybe not.
Now we got some dog track experts.
Oh, let's see here. There's a... Hey, David, you're on our radio, 104.1. What's up, David?
Hey, Russ, how you doing?
I'm great, man.
I worked at one of the kennel clubs for 10 years.
Good. Now, you can tell me stuff. I've always wondered. There are people that are PETA people, and they love animals, and I'm like, oh, my God, those dogs are so abused behind the scenes. You don't know what goes on. You've been behind the scenes. What did you see?
Yes. Well, first off, those greyhounds love to run.
Sure.
And they don't like losing. And I have seen, trainers get upset when things happen to dogs, but at the same time, I have seen bad stuff happen.
Yeah.
I have seen absolutely horrific accidents happen. I think, having seen the industry, and they are fantastic dogs, I do think it's time for the industry's run its course.
Oh, really?
Because do they get injured that often? Like, is it every race they're like, two of the dogs get knocked out and then have to be put down?
What's an injury? Yeah, what kind of injuries are you talking about?
Most of the time when you have an injury, they'll injure what's called the stopper bone down by their front foot, especially on the right side.
Right.
Because when they're hitting that first turn is when they're hitting their top speed.
Right.
And a lot of force is being put down on those feet. But I've seen also people who are concerned about the dogs also should know that every track, when they are running dogs, there is a vet on hand and has to be by law. So there is a vet there in the case of accidents, to be taken care of.
So would you say the dogs that are winners, the ones that race a lot and everything, would you say they're abused? Would you say they're treated well? Would you say they're...
I would not say that they're abused. I have seen where certain trainers had certain ideas about how dog, how to treat a flea problem that isn't necessarily the best thing for the dog.
Right.
Like a taser?
And in one case, the dog wasn't peeing, So we thought, okay, I need to give the dog a diuretic to get him to pee. Well, actually, it turns out the dog was already dehydrated. That's why he wasn't peeing.
So that didn't help you.
So that, you know, and the guy, trust me, this guy is, I've actually seen him cry because the dog got injured severely enough to be put down. Truly cares about his dog.
So the trainers do love their dogs. Hey, are dogs like that that are very fast and do well? Are they bred kind of like horses are bred when they're you know winners?
Yes, they are. We had one dog that broke her leg, but she was so fast. The owner literally called the track. Says, "I don't care what it costs. Do not put that dog down."
Wow.
Also the track I worked at had a no-kill policy.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
So unless the injury was so severe that the dogs could not recover from it, they were not put down. They were sent out, fixed up, and adopted out. And as a matter of fact, Greyhound Pets of America was actually started by trainers.
Right.
Tired of seeing dogs that could no longer run just be put down.
And so you worked at a track for like 10 years or so, and you're even saying that you think it might be time, it might have run its course.
Yeah.
I'm really glad you called because I haven't made a decision on this, and a lot of times when you're hearing both sides, one side will totally villainize the entire industry, and then the other side will say, oh, no, it's just so wonderful, and it's got to be somewhere in the middle, you know? I mean, it can't be. I'm sure not everybody that works for the track just is abusing every single dog.
Right.
And they just couldn't be. But also, I'm sure it's not as fluffy,
pristine
as the other side says.
No, it is not.
Yeah.
People are eating breakfast, so I'm not going to talk about some of the stuff I've seen there.
Yeah.
Have you seen it? Have you ever seen them give the dogs cocaine?
No. Okay, that is another thing. First off, giving a dog cocaine before to run would backfire.
Oh, why?
That dog because. That dog weighs in and sits in that kennel for about an hour minimum before it races.
Mm.
So by the time they would actually get to run, they'd be crashing.
I'm just saying, repeating what's being texted in. There's one guy here who vehemently believes that you guys give dogs cocaine. And he texted it over and over and over.
No, because I do know somebody that their dogs tested positive for cocaine, but it was, we're talking, parts per billion.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Right. You know,
and I was just partying with my dog.
You laugh about it. I mean, imagine a little bit of coke, if it makes a dog run well enough to win a cake, and you go up there and put a big bet. I mean,
why not?
But like I said, anything that you're going to give the dog that's going to speed him up, by the time he actually runs,
he's
going to be coming off of it.
Yeah. All right, so I appreciate you calling me. So you're saying
that's poor quality.
If put up to vote, you would vote it out. You think it's run its course?
Yeah, I think it has.
Okay, thank you for calling, buddy. Yeah. I appreciate it. 407-916-104. Well, a lot of people calling about this. I'm probably going to agree with Jimmy that Deborah Roberts will say get rid of it.
Oh,
but man, I got to tell you, the side I heard this morning from someone who was pro racing, they seem to think if you don't have racing, the entire breed will be dead and gone. People won't keep the breed around. And
right now, I'm not 100% sure it's not being kept around just so the poker tables can run, because I believe that's part of the stipulation to have the poker games at the dog tracks. One of the reasons you see them is the dogs have to run. It has to be part of the gaming experience at the property or something like that. There's there's some stipulation, and so I don't know. I don't know if that's the only reason it's being kept around, because every single article I just researched while we were talking about it is like, hey, it's time.
Yeah, yeah. Huh. You're listening to The Monster of the Morning. Big shout out. Thank you for being a part of the Monster family. It's from Omaha, Nebraska, listening to us on the iHeartRadio app, Pat Gampatista. We appreciate you listening on the iHeartRadio app, and watch us on YouTube at iHeartMonsters Radio on YouTube. It's three words when you do it. Hey, I'm Russ Rollins, along with Dirty Jim, Angel, and Carlos. Well, a lot of people calling about the Greyhound thing. I heard this morning that it'll be up for a vote whether you should get rid of it. In the state of Florida, as reported, is like one of the only states that still allows Greyhound racing.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are still calling about it. And I don't... I don't know enough about the industry to make an opinion one or the other, because they, this morning I heard like both sides, and when you hear one side, you're like, okay, well then, you know, you want the breed to stay around, and the dogs seem to enjoy it. For them, it's fun, and, mm-hmm. and they're treated really well. For to hear one side, and to hear the other side, oh, they're treated horribly, and it's a terrible, terrible thing, and it's got to be somewhere in the middle. It's never usually all one way or all the other.
Yeah, yeah, it's weird though, because when you get the people like Deb Roberts, when she comes in around 9, I'm sure we'll talk to her about this a little bit.
Yeah.
And on my show on Fridays, we talk about animal stuff with her quite a bit. We have a segment called Animal House where she invites people in around the area. And with people like that, it's usually a black and white scenario when it comes to these things. Because, you know, the animal is specifically being used to make money, like the SeaWorld thing. You know, that backlash was because even though the SeaWorld guys theoretically took great care of those animals, had the top scientists in the world, they're doing great work, that they use that research they did there with those animals
still do, yeah.
to help other animals and other things. People still did not care. The small-minded people who focus on the one thing happening there didn't see the big picture that SeaWorld offered.
Right.
And I think they got one of the biggest shaft jobs in the history of America, in my opinion. But
well, that documentary did it, man.
Yeah, and it's awful, really. It was just character assassination. And to be honest with you, I mean, it's a shame they didn't take anything else into consideration.
It was a one-sided.
If you start looking at all companies for one thing, you could probably find some pretty nefarious stuff with everybody if you really want to focus on it. But that's an easy target, and that's another subject. But you'll find, Russ, that I think it's pretty polarized. Hey, I think Deb is going
to
be.
But
you know,
wouldn't you want to? What I'd like to see talked about, or because I don't want anyone to go out of business, right? And like you were saying, Jimmy, it looks like some of these places, or they've been keeping this going on for some of the card places to go on. So if you shut this down, does this affect other businesses?
That's a good question. Lisa, you're on Real Radio 104.1. How you doing, Lisa?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
Good. I see that you actually own two of the rescued greyhounds, right?
I do. Both of my dogs were retired racers right here at the Sanford Orlando track.
Okay.
And I could probably offer kind of a midline area. Personally, I don't agree with racing, but I didn't form that opinion until I owned my dogs. And
met their coke dealer.
Right, right. There are some, I do believe there is a law. I can't cite what law it is, but the only way the racetracks can stay open, because they do offer other kinds of events, or I don't know if it's gaming or whatever, but they have to have a certain number of races. I don't know if it's per week or per month. So I think if that was separated,
yeah.
from, you could allow the paramutual organizations or the businesses to still function without the dog racing, then that would allow them to keep their facilities open.
Real quick, you are right. I know this because when I was doing my card tournament over in Daytona for the longest time, and just for the record, Russ, we would go over to do poker tournaments when there were no people there, or like when the dogs weren't running,
right.
and the crowd would be, you know, okay. When they ran those dogs,
yeah.
the parking lot was full.
Oh, yeah.
The place was packed. It was the show.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
So, hey, Lisa, you have two of the rescued dogs. A, what made you adopt these two? And what is it about? Is the dog one of these dogs that always has a lot of energy, is always wanting to run around?
No, they are 43-mile-an-hour couch potatoes.
Oh, really?
They're sprinters. So, I mean, you don't need a big home. There's a misnomer that the greyhound needs a lot of yard or a lot of space. You could have an apartment. And as long as you can give that dog a nice walk each day, or maybe 5 out of the 7 days a week,
yeah.
that's all they really need. And I can tell you, we're not a huge, they're not designed to go running with you or to exercise with you.
Huh.
But they, you know, our dogs will go in the backyard or we'll go for a nice brisk walk, and they're fine. And I know a lot of people say, and the other issue with racing is the state of Florida. I know I'm jumping around a little bit, but I just thought of this. I think there are, and I could be mistaken, but I believe there are 18 racetracks in the country. 12 of them are in Florida.
In Florida, right? Wow. Yeah, that's what
and
I heard. Yeah,
not regular. There is no mandatory reporting of injuries. If some of the facilities do, I think they do it voluntarily,
mm-hmm.
but they don't have to report injuries to the state of Florida of any of the dogs. So when we got our dogs, And we took them to the vet for their first checkup with us.
Yeah.
There were all kinds of injuries they had that you could tell from x-rays that are old healed injuries. And we have absolutely no idea how it happened. So there's no history there to say, well, he may develop this or this is why he's turning, because our dog out of the nowhere developed a limp on one leg. It was bad.
Right.
And there was no reason. We couldn't say, well, this happened in the past. But
did he become a pimp?
Old injuries.
So
we did not.
So for you, I mean, if you were going to vote to get whether to get rid of, you know, dog racing or to keep it, you would vote to get rid of it.
I'd vote to get rid of it. And I know people say that the dogs love to run or that they don't mind being cooped up. They are in crates for a majority of the day.
I don't care about any of that. Here's what I do care about. They look weird and they don't seem cuddly.
Yeah, are they cuddly?
Oh, they're so sweet. Let me tell you, they are the sweetest dogs. They don't have a mean bone in their body. Our dog, in fact, was attacked by another dog in the neighborhood when we were out for a walk. And it was a pretty significant attack. The other dog was unleashed and attacked our dog. Our dog never even tried to bite back.
Roman dogs.
Trying to get away. And they're just the sweetest family dogs. And once you get them home, it's like if you've always had something, you don't know what it's like to have anything different. So they don't know anything different than to be in a cage.
Gotcha, yeah.
Once you get them home and they have...
Thank you, sweetheart.
By the way, gotcha means you're not being listened
Thank
to.
Thank you, Lisa. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
That was, you know, that was good info. Somebody who owns it. And, I mean, I lean towards getting rid of it.
Yeah.
But I'm going to... I mean, it just sounds like it's a very small, tiny industry that's unregulated.
Here comes Swifty.
The dogs look like they're having fun, but even, you know,
the
stuff about injury, I didn't even think about that, and that's probably a very good point.
Well, so does that otter.
Hey, talking about gaming and gambling, we've got the Victory Casino Cruise coming up very soon. It's the Monsters. It's the guys from Real Laughs. We're all combining together to go on a gambling cruise. It's July the 14th. Tickets are still available. Go to realradio.fm/victory to get the deal where it's just $10.41 to go on this cruise. It's going to be a great time. The guys will be performing. We'll all take photos with you and hang out. It's going to be a great time. So make sure you join us. That's going to be on July the 14th. You go to realradio.fm/victory to go on this cruise. There's already got like 300 or 400 people that are going so far. We want you to come along with us. It's going to be great. When we come back, we'll do a little trivia. Your chance to win some stuff. Telephone number to dial is 1-888-978-1041. You are listening to the Monsters of the Morning.
Someday, Alexa will know everything. Alexa, how do I get rid of a deadbeat roommate?
Try poisoning them.
But until then, tell her to play Real Radio 104.1 on iHeartRadio.
Playing Real Radio 104.1 on iHeartRadio.
Radio. Radio.
4.1. Triple R Segment 7 is brought to you by WeAreNotTheBanks.com. Brad Siebert and his staff can help get you into a home. He's a licensed lender. But it's not like working with a bank. That's why they call it We Are Not The Banks, because they'll talk to you during the weekend. They'll talk to you after hours. They're a little bit different, man. It's like a buddy of yours is helping you get that loan. And they'll inform you what's going on every single day so you don't worry and wonder about what's happening with your loan. It's really a great service. And if you're looking for a home, that's who you need to call. 407-636-9808 for WeAreNotTheBanks.com. Get you a loan, even if your credit score is 580 or less. If you got great credit, they'll get you a great interest rate. If you got poor credit, they still can help you out. They can finance a mobile home if you need them to. And they can help you with big, beautiful mansions. They can do it all. It's WeAreNotTheBanks.com. 407-636-9808 for WeAreNotTheBanks.com. Ask them about their free appraisal and free home warranty offer. For WeAreNotTheBanks.com. If you have a VA loan that resulted in a foreclosure or a short sale on a previous VA loan, they still can get you a loan, 100% financing. So call them, WeAreNotTheBanks.com, 407-636-9808 for WeAreNotTheBanks.com. Thank you, Brad Siebert. Welcome back to the Monsters in the Morning on Real Radio 104.1 at 7 o'clock. So if you're on your way to work, turn the radio on and don't freak out if the traffic is bad, because it probably already is.
Relax.
Yeah, just relax. It's going to be bad. It's I-4. That's just the way it is.
It is.
Just listen to the show and be in a good mood on your way to work. I'm Russ Rollins along with Dirty Jim, Angel, and Carlos. Let's see what prize we have in the prize pinata today.
Can you guys believe how close it is to the 4th of July?
I know.
That's bananas. We have a gig this Sunday, that Tapatura thing I was telling you guys about. And I just realized, like, that week after... Like, that's 4th of July week.
Right.
It's the week after that, but still, it's bananas, dude.
I know.
How fast it snuck.
I know.
Creeping.
Seemed like it was just, New Year's Eve.
I know, just the other day you were at Shania Twain.
Yeah. and, you know, and loving it.
Yeah, I'm not letting that die either. I wrote it down to make sure I keep referencing Shania Twain.
Because
if I would have said I saw Shania Twain and loved it, you would have ripped my balls.
And look, you act like I'm above being ripped. Rip me. My God, you act like I just started this yesterday. Take all your shots. Give them all. I'm like a sponge. Hit me.
I won't mention it again.
Reverse psychology always works.
The prize pinata is brought to you by CentoMoving.com. Cento Family Moving and Storage is a family-owned and operated company offering both residential and commercial moving services for businesses all over the country. It's a fully trained expert moving crew, adept in packing, furniture handling, safe driving, and excellent customer service. Go to the website, CentoMoving.com. That's CentoMoving.com. Hit the start quote button. Let them know they heard about it here on Real Radio 104.1, Monsters in the Morning, and there's a discount for you. Let them help you move, especially if you are doing a move during the summer.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of rain, too.
You're on I-4, you get your bed in the back, you got it all strapped down, next thing you know, boom, comes one of those thunderstorms, and your mattress
is ruined. And then ends up all over I-4, on top of our construction.
It's a mess.
Don't be that dude. Up first, we have a pair of tickets to the advanced screening of Uncle Drew, starring Kyrie Irving, Shaq, Chris Webber, and many more. And that's going down Tuesday, June the 26th at Regal Waterford Lakes.
That looks funny. I want to see that.
I'm really there.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. It's going to be a classic. I'm telling you now.
Did you see the trailer?
It's going to be a classic.
That's why I'm doing it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's going to be
the trailer looks awful, guys.
I mean, it's tongue in cheek. I mean, dude. It's everybody knows it's young Shaq playing old Shaq. But
I think it's going
to
be a
classic. No, really? They didn't fast forward his life for the movie, Russ?
No.
Thanks, I appreciate that.
Jesus. Like a fun, silly comedy, you know?
You hear what they're saying.
Yeah, this could be a modern-day Major League.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
No, it's not. And this is where
it can be.
Like the theme park movie with Johnny Knoxville looks awful. Like, I mean, you look at that and you're like, that looks awful. Even in the context of understanding it's supposed to be bad, it looks bad. That's how this looks to me.
Oh, really? No, I think I saw the trailer and laughed through the entire trailer. There was because I like Shaq a lot, though.
I thought it was funny. Like, I'm going to get my tickets.
The premise of the movie, after draining his life savings to enter a team into the Rucker Classic Streetball Tournament in Harlem, Dax, little Rel Howery, is dealt a series of unfortunate setbacks, including losing his team to his longtime rival, played by Nick Kroll.
This is Dodgeball.
Yeah. I can do like that.
So we got the stars Shaquille O'Neal, Chris Webber, Reggie Miller, Nate Robinson, and Lisa Leslie as stars in there playing their older selves. And it also stars Kyrie Irving. This is Uncle Drew.
Damn, that's going to be fun.
Up next, we have a $50 Power Spot Fireworks. Jimmy was just talking about how quickly 4th of July is.
Don't be left out.
Fireworks is your local source for the best fireworks. Be a backyard hero with the largest selection of buy one, get one, or get two free fireworks.
Mm-hmm.
With two locations to serve you now on the corner of 434 and 1792 in Longwood and now in Eustis. If you want to get an idea and a visual of the fireworks that are available, go to iwantfireworks.com for more information.
Best stuff. Best prices, no dud guarantee.
And he still does the thing where you can go and you can see what it looks like so they got a little video of each thing. It's really, really cool the way they do that.
He's going to be on my show Friday to talk about not only fireworks safety, but about what's new in the business coming up this year.
We have a four-pack of tickets to the Mascot Games, and that's presented by Wawa on June the 23rd. That's this Saturday. Starts at 2 p.m. See Stuff, Nitro, Kingston, and over 20 fan favorites battle it out with wacky games. Tickets are on sale right now. They start at $12. You can upgrade to the VIP for $35. We got the kickoff party of the Mascot Games. The iHeart Radio Fan Fest starts at noon. For tickets, visit realradio.fm, keyword tickets, and all of this is to benefit New Hope for Kids.
We are coaching this weekend, this Saturday. I will coach a team. Carlos will coach a team. Angel and Savannah will all coach a team. And the coaches are very important to the outcome of this. Wouldn't you say, boys?
Absolutely.
Or we're kind of just standing there.
No, you stand there, Rollins.
We're screaming and yelling and being a part of it.
Strategy.
Yeah.
I come up with strategy, too. They just don't seem... Those mascots have a mind of their own. But it is a lot of fun.
They do. They really do.
They're very competitive.
They're quite wild.
And we'll wrap it up with this. A pair of tickets to the Monsters Midway Suite and Coke Zero Sugar 400 on Saturday, July the 7th at Daytona International Speedway. Tickets for the Monster Midway Suite start at $185. Call 1-800-PIT-SHOP or visit DaytonaInternationalSpeedway.com to buy them. Tell them, when you call that number, tell them that you want the Monsters Midday Suite Party, which includes Monsters Happy Hour Party, pre-race ONOH Fan Zone wristband, food and Coca-Cola beverages, happy hour drink specials, special Monsters parking, access to the air-conditioned Midway Suite, and we got reserve seating, pit out turn one area just for us, and that's going down July the 7th, and those are the prizes in today's prize pinata.
Thank you so much. 407-916-1041 or toll-free, it's 1-888-978-1041. Jason from Chiliota, how you doing, buddy?
Not bad. How you doing, Russ?
I am great. Are you on your way to work, or are you already there?
No, I'm not even going to work today.
Oh, yeah, good. Screw work, man.
Screw work. Say, are you going
party!
You're going to go to the beach? What are you going to do?
What's that?
Are you going to go to the beach? You're just going to hang out? What are you going to do on your day off?
I just got out of surgery. I'm going to puss around the house.
Okay, right. Very good, buddy.
I'm going to take all my Oxycontin in one shot and just try to win this prize.
I like it. All right, well, listen, I got a trivia question for you. If you get it right, you can take whatever prize you want, Jason. And if you don't win, then either Dirty Jim or Carlos or Angel can help you out, okay?
All right.
Okay, the World Health Organization just named this an official mental health condition for the very first time ever. As a matter of fact, it's been included in the International Classification of Diseases. What do you think has just been, for the first time, named an official mental health issue?
It's like that video game thing, right? Like, video game.
That's it. Congratulations. You got it right off the bat, man.
Good job, dude. Did not see this.
There you go.
Thanks for the Percocets, bro.
Let me put you on hold.
I'm going to go play my video games now.
You are a winner. Yeah. It's a video gaming. The video game addiction is real now. They have a name for it. Let's see here. It's called gaming disorder. Wow. It's included in the 11th edition of the International Classification of Diseases. And for the very first time, the World Health Organization has just classified video game addiction as a real mental health issue for the first time. And they said that a lot of psychological problems are around it, and that it is real that some people become addicted to video games and it takes over their lives.
Hey, World Health Organization, you're about 30 years late on calling this. Because I think the second video games were made and put in somebody's hand, they became a problem.
Even the arcade games, before you could just go and get your console. I mean, I knew guys that would steal money and go play video games in the arcade at a quarter a spot. So I agree with you 100%. I would say since 1981, when video arcades like Pac-Man and stuff like that were out, I knew for a fact that some of the dudes I rolled with had no problem jacking change and stuff like that, trying to get in there and play those games at a quarter a pop.
And remember, we had a guy that was in here, and he played for the Atlanta Predators, and before he played for the Predators, he was playing for an NFL team.
Yes.
And he was so addicted. I think he played for the Miami Dolphins.
Hawaiian guy, wasn't it?
Or was it a Colts somebody? But he was a Hawaiian guy, and he was so into video games, instead of going to practice sometimes, he would just play his video game, and he got fired from the NFL, so ended up on the Orlando Predators, and still was fighting that addiction of playing like Call of Duty or something like that.
Wow!
Yes. But you gotta, and this is what happens, right? Because and it's the same thing with like people throwing around the term ADHD or bipolar or all these catchphrases right now, because what they did is very helpful in the sense that there is a certain criteria that you have to that qualifies you as having this condition.
Well, can you tell us what the criteria is when we come back? All right, when we come back, we'll tell you what the criteria is to actually have a video game addiction. You can't just claim it and say, that's what I got. I can't help it.
Because, you know, like dudes right now like yelling at their girlfriend, I have a condition.
Exactly.
Make me my Totino's.
Exactly.
Because I have a condition. I can't get up right now.
It's a mental health condition. I can't help it.
Break me freaking down.
Can you imagine hearing that come out of every douche?
You know it's happening, Jimmy.
Angel will give you the real criteria for all you ladies that your boyfriends and husbands are going to try to tell you they got it. We'll tell you what the real criteria is when we come back. You're listening to the Monster of the Morning. Shout out to part of the Monster family. Listen to us on the iHeartRadio app and also watch us on the iHeart Monsters Radio YouTube channel. It's Rob Mayville, who listens to us in Anastasia Island, St. Augustine, Florida.
Oh, sweet.
Checking in. I love St. Augustine.
It's beautiful.
I'm going there at the end of
next month, I think, again, because that's when that it's Culture Club. Thompson Twins and the B-52s are in concert, and so we're going to stay at that same place, at Scott York's place, and looking forward to that.
Shania's going.
Shania, you know me, huh? I'm all about Shania Twain.
Hey, boys.
So this video game addiction is now, and now it's real, okay? And Carlos is so right. You know, now that it's been made a real mental condition, how many guys are going to use that as an excuse? Like, listen.
Must be affecting white people.
I got gaming disorder. That's what it's called, gaming disorder. And it's
just in that commercial break, there's been 100,000 cases already.
Yeah.
It's officially in the International Classification of Diseases, gaming disorder now. The World Health Organization just classified it for the first time.
The irony of somebody using that to get their medical marijuana card.
Oh, you know those dudes are running.
And then collect SSI.
The irony.
What are some of the things that you're going to be able to get if you got this disorder? That's a good point. But there's criteria, so it might not be...
It's not as easy as you think, first and foremost. And then the other thing that could be cool, though, now is that you could hit up your employers and say, hey, listen, we need video games at work.
Yeah.
You know, I saw when they were talking about this, they said that they feel that it's a big problem with doctors because, and I swear to God, and we all know Dr. Butch was the one that put it in here in Central Florida, but they said doctors now are playing a lot of video games and
to
relieve stress.
That Fortnite on them.
And improves your dexterity. They prove it for a fact. They also tell you that video gamers also have better hand-eye coordination. They're better at math.
But they're saying that
they solve problems faster.
Since doctors and physicians do this, they have developed the disorder where they play it at home, too, because they tell themselves they're doing it for work,
Sure.
But then they become addicted to playing the games.
All right, so there are three major issues or things being diagnosed with this, all right? The characteristics of gaming disorder. One is that the gaming behavior takes precedence over other activities to the extent that other activities are taken to the periphery.
Now, that was what the example they gave with some of the surgeons, some of the doctors, that they would sit and still play their games when they were supposed to be going to surgery.
Oh, Jesus.
Is he bleeding yet?
Yeah, I'll be there in a minute.
The second feature is impaired control of these behaviors. Even when the negative consequences occur, this behavior continues or escalates.
That sounds like a gambling problem.
It's very similar.
That's really exactly like a gambling problem.
So the diagnosis of gaming disorder then means that it's a persistent or recurrent behavior pattern of a sufficient severity has emerged according to the ICD. And then the third feature is that the condition leads to significant distress and impairment in personal, family, social, educational, or occupational functioning, and the impact is real. Your disturbed sleep patterns, you have diet problems, deficiency in physical activity. These are the three characteristics, but how long do you have to exhibit this behavior before they'll even give you the classification, though?
I don't. 1 year.
Not a gambling addict until you're broke,
but
destitute, you know what I'm saying? Stolen from all your,
all of those things you just said, could you not apply that to using your cell phone and social media? Read those again.
The one is the gaming behavior takes precedence over other activities to the extent that other activities are taken to the periphery.
Social media and your phone, that's why you can do that. Okay, number two?
Even when the negative consequences occur, this behavior continues or escalates.
Okay, you could use that with your cell phone or with social media. And three.
And the third feature is that this condition leads to significant distress and impairment in personal, family, social, educational, or occupational functioning. So that, you know, your sleep patterns are affected, you have diet problems, you have deficiency in the physical activity.
Yeah. Right.
So I think the difference would be, Russ, is that most people like to think that they can put their phone down and they're not on it. You have to exhibit that behavior for that negative pattern of behavior for at least 12 months before you even earn or will be classified as having condition.
I would have to say that it would have to almost kind of reveal itself. Like, you know what a functional alcoholic is, right, Russ?
Yeah, I do.
You have people who can drink 4, 5, 8 beers a night and then come in and work and seem like everything's fine.
Right.
Because at that point, until that person kind of makes their own admission, hey, look, I have an alcohol problem, until it starts showing itself, you lose your job, you lose your vehicle, you don't have friends or family anymore, then it's evident. But until then, how do you even know? I mean, how would you know that someone is a social media act here in the building?
Because if
from A to B, if like from 8 until 5, if everybody looks pretty happy, but then you don't understand when they go home, they ignore their children, ignore their family, their house is a mess because all they do is sit and worry about their social media or video game.
Probably your your spouse though would know,
yeah,
or your
sure.
kids, or people that live with you would say, "Man, you've got all these criteria that fit for gaming with your social media."
And by the way, real quick before you go to that call, that guy was Quinn Pitcock, the football player who came in, and
oh,
a guy
right.
texted in and said that guy actually helped him and his son with his son's video game addiction.
Oh, so. Wow. Mark, you're on Real Radio 104.1. How you doing, Mark?
What's up, fellas?
Hey, Mark.
Bros, long-time listener, first-time caller.
Do you have gaming disorder?
Bros,
calm
every
down,
single
man.
One of those things you said I've had for over 3 years, and it's just all hitting home right now.
So now you realize you have an actual mental disorder.
Bros, yeah, man. I don't go on the internet much. You know, I'm a gamer. And
you're a gamer, yeah.
I love listening to Monsters every single day, and I put it on, and I only go on YouTube, and that's pretty much for gaming videos and to watch you guys.
Yeah. Well, Mark, I think from what I've learned, you know, one of the first steps of getting over this is to admit it and say it out loud. Like, you know, hi, my name is Mark, and I have a gaming disorder. Can you say that?
Man, you know what, Russ, for you, bro, I can't. Hi, my name is Mark. And I have a gaming disorder.
Uh-oh.
Oh, Mark, you're breaking my heart,
hi,
Mark.
Hi, Mark.
I'm sorry, bro.
When's the last time you played a game, Mark?
I'm playing one right now, bro.
What are you playing?
I'm playing some Call of Duty, and to be honest, I'm crushing it.
You're crushing it. How long will you play Call of Duty today?
Well, pretty much all day, bro.
So you sit home and play Call of Duty all day long. How do you earn a living?
Oh, no, man. No, it ain't that bad, bro. I mean, I do play a bunch of Fortnite right now.
Yeah.
A lot of PUBG.
Yeah.
A little GTA.
Yeah. Do you think
I got a lot in me, man. Hold on a second. Mom! Stop yelling at me!
Stop playing the game.
I have a condition.
You need to go to work.
I have a condition the monsters are helping me with. All right, bro. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I put the game on pause.
No, hey, no problem.
Mark, on the phone with us right now, Mark, who's admittedly addicted to video games.
Yeah.
Hey, Mark, how old are you?
I'm 27 years old, bro, but I'm not in the best of shape right now, but back in my high school wrestling days, man, I was crushing it.
So,
I know that guy.
How much do you weigh now, Mark, with a gaming condition?
You know what? Last time I went to the doctor, it was with the mom, so hold on a second. Mom!
Yes?
His attitude changes completely when he talks to his mom.
How much do I weigh?
My God.
Oh, God. 375.
Whoa, God. Mark, buddy.
You sound thinner than that.
It's a lot of muscle. I was
muscle
in high school.
Yeah, muscle weighs more than fat. So you're
hold
fine.
Hold on a second. I'm playing. Stop real quick. I'm going on Fortnite real quick. If you all could see me, I'm doing one of the Fortnite dances right now. I'm doing the floss.
So you can't even talk to us on the phone without playing the game?
No, bro. Why would I do that? I need help, but I don't need help right now.
Right, that's good. That's a very good point. Yeah.
It's the truest thing ever said on the show, by the way.
Yeah.
I'm really upset about it. I'm wondering, is this a condition where I could receive some benefits from the government?
All right, yeah.
So you want benefits for your gaming
condition.
Yeah,
so you can stay home and play more, right?
Right.
Yeah, man, because the deal is, when I leave my house, when I have to leave my house, when my mom takes me to Payless so I can get shoes, I feel
sour.
Sick. I feel nauseous. Yeah. I have to be on her phone. It sucks.
Right. So you
want to get on that Bernie plan?
You'd rather just stay home and play video games than even go out and. What about girls? Do you go out with any girls?
Yeah, man, I'm on Tinder.
Oh, well, I mean, do you meet any of the girls that are on Tinder?
Yeah, bro, all the time. I'm
You're banging it out, huh?
No, my girlfriend lives in Utah. She's not here right now.
Your girlfriend lives in Utah.
Yeah, bro. I got a beautiful picture of her. I'd show her to you, but you're not in front of me.
Yeah, now, since the show is heard nationwide on the iHeart app, where are you calling from today?
Calling from Minnesota.
Minnesota.
Ah.
That's not far from Utah.
Go Vikings.
Go Vikings,
you know
absolutely.
What? I'm playing some Madden. Screw it.
So, right, you're in Minnesota.
Oh, you're wild, man. Just flipping games like that, man.
I'm crazy, bro.
You're in Minnesota. Where'd you say your girlfriend's from?
Utah.
She's from freaking Utah. She's beautiful.
Salt Lake City, yeah.
How often do you see her?
See her all the time. We have sex all the time.
Really? That's got to be difficult if you.
No.
Yeah.
She's beautiful. She's a model.
Yeah. We knew.
She's a model, huh?
Yeah, we knew.
She's an Instagram model. She's 3.2 million followers.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Those IG models, you got to be careful, buddy.
Well, okay. When you found out that the international classification of diseases, that they made this an actual addiction, does it make you feel better or worse knowing that this.
Worse.
Worse. Why worse?
In fact, I call my freaking girlfriend right now, but I'm out of minutes.
Yeah, we understand.
Yeah, you're burning them
and
with
I'm
us.
Hey, what's your on the phone?
What's your girl's name, bro?
Her name is Jajelica.
Jajelica.
Her name is Jajelica?
I mean Angelica.
Angelica, yeah.
Okay.
Beautiful. She's from Italy.
Yeah.
Okay.
But by way of Utah.
By way of Salt Lake.
You guys for support. I listen to you every day. Don't make fun of me and my beautiful freaking girlfriend.
Okay, we will
never do that, Mark.
Yeah, we'd love to help you get over your gaming addiction, though. I mean,
we want to make sure you can maintain your relationship with Provo Jajelica.
Look, man, Mom, don't have a freaking beautiful girlfriend.
Yes, you do.
She said yes. Okay.
See?
All right. Well, Mark, I hope you get help for your gaming addiction.
Just send it later, and if you don't mind, send some Hungry Howies, too.
By the way, dude, your mom sounds a lot like my buddy Carlos's mom.
Hey, leave Carlos out of it. He's a gentleman.
Shut up. Jacob, you're on Real Radio 104.1. How you doing, Jacob?
Hey, guys. How y'all doing? That's funny you guys are talking about the gaming disorder, but what they really don't talk about that there's games online called MMO browser-based games, and it's pay-to-win games, and kids will have to pay about $1,000-plus within a week time to be number one in the game. And that's the true epidemic of gaming addiction. There are these games that you have to pay thousands of dollars, and they're the most stupid, cheapest games out there, and people will spend thousands of
Jacob,
dollars.
Typically those games are free, right? But to get further...
Yeah, the bonus stuff, right?
To get all the extra stuff, you got to kick. That's where you have to kick down the money.
And they're worse games than, like, Battlefield 1. Like, all other cheap 2D graphic games, like, horrible graphics.
So they're not even really good.
So,
yeah.
So you're upset about the graphics. So you like Battlefield 1 better.
Same thing, everything over and over again, every day.
Now let me ask you: since you know a lot about this, would you say that you might have a mental health condition? Do you think you have?
I used to play a game like this. I don't got no mental disability. Yeah. Right now.
Hey, you know it's weird. Generationally, how old are you, bro?
I'm 25.
So you're 25. Russ and I are in our 50s. And like Angel, I believe, is in his early 40s and Carlos is in his mid 30s. Generationally, it's weird. We dealt with this in a totally different way. Although we had arcade games, the console games weren't quite there yet, Russ. Not like they are now, right?
Mm. Well,
We also had the card games that became like a big deal, yeah. Right?
Well, no, but that's what's going on right now. It's going through the old heads, all age groups. They're all playing from kids all around the world. It doesn't matter what age you are because old people like it because of the old graphics with it and there's the card games that are free that people are just spending, I mean, man, thousands.
No, he's right. No, you know what, Jacob? Dollars. I think you need to. We need you to help us with the intervention with Mark.
Yeah,
you sound like you have some real major issues.
Yeah, there's some deep-seated
like,
stuff there.
Of his dad, so come on now.
Thank you, buddy. All right.
Come on, man.
You're listening to The Watch of the Morning.
So you failed a personality test.
What exactly do you mean by a wrong answer?
We'll still talk to you.
407-916-1041. Real Radio 104.1.
From the
Radio. Radio. Radio.
Hey, listening to us on the iHeartRadio app in Punta Vedra Beach, Florida, is Lisa Gullion. Thank you for listening to us on the iHeartRadio app. Everybody can. It's pretty cool. Check it out on iHeartRadio. Hey, I'm Russ Rollins with Dirty Jim, Angel, and Carlos. And we are now to round four of the best TV best TV themes song competition that is on our website at monsters.fm. Now, people that enter when you go and you vote, you possibly could win a $100 Hulu gift card. Here we are getting close to the finals. So it was Dirty Jim versus Angel. It was Gilligan's Island versus Barney Miller. and Gilligan's Island won. So Dirty Jim won that that round.
Take that, yo.
And
take
then that. It was Carlos had Cheers, I had Cops, and Cheers won.
Hell yeah, crushed you, bro.
You did. So in this bracket,
oh my God,
it's going to be Dirty Jim against Carlos.
No.
So it's Gilligan's Island. Gilligan's Island taking on Cheers, and then in the second bracket. We had, let's see here, Vince was up against Savannah with the Addams Family, and the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air won.
Yes.
And then Jim and Moira were up against Pinkman and Jack, and let's see here, what won? MASH won. So here are the two brackets. It's Gilligan's Island versus Cheers, and Fresh Prince of Bel-Air versus MASH.
Man, this is going to be tough. So it's going to come down to the wire.
It's going to come down to the wire here.
This is a Fresh Prince, MASH, Gilligan's Island. That's a good mix, I think.
I like Fresh Prince in that battle, but in our heads-up battle, it is a coin flip because it's who decides to vote. Because I believe
those are two classic.
But I believe really kind of fought, and the same people who loved Cheers probably would have watched Gilligan's Island as a kid. So which one stuck with them more?
Yeah.
Really, that's kind of what you have to look at it, right?
And are they voted on the show? They like the show better, or on the song that stuck with them? You know,
right? Yeah, because they both are lyric, like everybody knows, and then step right. You know, it's just like one of those things where it's they both stuck in your head, and I just which one hits that nerve?
Yeah.
What about yours, Russ?
Cheers is great. I got to go with Cheers. My Cops, Cops was doing really well through the different rounds, but when I get up against Cheers, they got smashed.
You know, I think if you look, well, MASH is still in there, right?
Yeah, MASH is going up against, it's MASH going up against the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
So MASH has the only song that actually wasn't written for the show that's still in the contest.
We mean
MASH was a song called "Suicide Is Not Good" or something like that, but it's like suicide. And that was a song written not specifically for MASH. I don't think.
I don't think the Cheers song was written for Cheers.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know because it's a song.
Like, I've never heard it anywhere else.
Three verses.
Yeah, I've never heard it anywhere else on.
I'm not 100% for sure, but I know it has three verses. They only play like one verse of it, and the Golden Girls song was a real song, and that was like, you know.
Right.
What's the name of the song? The Cheers song.
Hey, if you go to our website at monsters.fm, you can vote, you know, for your favorite one, and we'll see who's going to make it to the finals for this. And when you do go and vote, you're eligible to win that $100 gift card to Hulu. But also, when you go and go on the website, I had to take off one of the things from yesterday because Tommy Lee's son, I guess, pulled down that video of his dad. But him and his dad went at it again yesterday on Instagram or on social media. They were going back and forth.
You know, with Tommy, what's really bizarre that in this whole social media thing that he's going through right now, and he's dating one of the biggest social media stars ever. And I didn't realize that until yesterday.
Oh, really?
Her name's Brittany Furlon.
Yeah.
And she came up with, what was the app that used to record 7 seconds?
Vine.
So she blew up on Vine. She's on E! Entertainment or one of those E! Entertainment shows, whatever. But her fame came from a social media perspective.
Yeah.
And now he's dating her. They've been dating. I didn't realize they'd been dating for a while until yesterday.
I guess she went on social media.
Yeah,
and said,
she's getting all up in the mix, too.
Like, let's stop it now. And then the son told her to, you know, calm down and hush up. They're going back at it again, which is...
Well, what a shame.
It is kind of sad, isn't it?
So check it out, Los. That song, Where Everyone Knows Your Name, was written specifically for the Cheers premiere. And then after the premiere, the full-length version was made available. He went back and recorded the extra. Okay, so went back in the studio to record a longer version of the song that made the U.S. and British pop charts.
There you go. Okay, because I knew there was always a third verse. There was always seemed to be a third verse to the TV intros of the 90s.
Hey, Angel, the girl you're talking about, this Brittany Furlon, this is what she said on social media yesterday, and she was talking to Brandon, which is Tommy Lee's son. Brandon, this is too much. Your dad loves you, and you love your dad. Please stop. Everyone is clearly hurt. Enough is enough.
That's a nice thing to say.
And then Brandon came back and said, don't be a hero, Brittany. My dad needs another vodka and lemonade. Chop, chop.
Oh.
But, you know, it's always tough for the person trying to, like, I don't know anything about this girl except for everything I've seen from her on social media. She seems like she's trying to do the right thing, but all of this is just, I think, in bad context. When you're trying to do all this on social media, this she doesn't know how to do anything else except live her life on social media.
How about this? She can't seem to get... Here's the problem. We don't know behind the scenes if that guy, that chick will even accept his text or email or a phone call. So maybe the only way she thinks she can get a reaction from that guy is to do it like this, because like if she sends him a text and said, Brandon, you lay off. Dude, ridiculous. It's, right. And he doesn't respond. What do you do then? If you feel like you have a responsibility to kind of intervene to try to make it better.
Yeah.
What do you do?
Yeah, they took down the video. Now I wonder if he took down the video on his own accord, the son,
or was a lawyer asked him nicely with a nice little cease and desist.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, he would have that kid would have posted that letter though.
Yeah, right? I think so too.
Yeah, I would have. It's just whenever you resort to going online to post any emotional outburst, you're done.
Yeah.
Like, and you never look back at an angry emotional outburst on social media and go, I'm glad I did that.
So now Tommy Lee came back after you know, the son said something to Brittany about
the vodka,
about, you know, chop chop, go get him another vodka. Then Tommy Lee came back and said, you know, you're in trouble when you look at someone's Instagram page and just about every effing photograph is a selfie. And then he put a little throw up emoji. So, and they think he was talking about his son because his son puts a lot of. It's like, oh man,
oh my god, what is Pamela Lee doing in the middle of this?
She is
she's saving pets.
Yeah, she's in Russia with Putin, saving some porpoises.
Hey, now was she okay? I know he was married to Pamela Lee. Was he also married to
Heather Locklear?
She's in trouble.
Yeah,
well,
she
now.
Just like got tried to admit herself for.
She hospitalized for threatening to shoot herself.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they were together in the '80s.
Yeah, damn.
Yeah, they were married.
They were together in the '80s. They were married for 2 or 3 or 4 years. I guess because my wife and I had this discussion last night. Divorced in 1986, and then of course she got up with Richie Sambora from Bon Jovi.
That's right.
And I think they were together for quite a while.
Was she with Kid Rock too?
No, that was Pamela Lee. What is it in us that we idolize and we want to be, not literally, right, but like kind of the idea of wanting to be a rock star and date a model? Because if you look at the track record of most of these people's lives, it's a freaking mess. But in us, we're like, wouldn't it be badass to be a rock star?
like one of the only successful relationships like that, because we've had Billy Joel and Christie Brinkley. We've had, you know,
everybody.
We've had Heather Locklear and Tommy Lee and Richie Sambora. We had Rick Ocasek and Paulina Porizkova, who just got a divorce.
Oh, yeah.
They just got a divorce. They were together for like 30 years, and they just got a divorce. So it does happen occasionally. I think Rod Stewart was actually married to Britt Eklund or somebody like that for quite a while.
No, Rachel Hunter, for a long time,
but they split up.
But again, I mean, but you have to understand, I believe what we're saying, and I think that's kind of an interesting thing too,
you know,
Carlos,
like,
is if you can have like a normal American marriage, I guess, is probably, you know, if you do wind up in divorce and you do, or together 15, 20 years, I still think, even in the context of divorce, people will say, well, you know, they did it as long as they possibly could with respect. You know, they didn't get divorced. They just kind of fell out of love, or whatever the case may
be. And that happens with normal people as well.
Saying.
You know, but just we do this. We do this to ourselves where we idolize these people for one aspect of their life. And I think, I don't know, it's just it's fascinating to me why we do that. Yet
but
we know
the
outcome.
Yeah, that's the essence of being a fan, though. You could take that and apply it to athletes.
No doubt.
You could take
that.
I mean, it's just a part of being take into account that somebody's doing something that you can't do. Not everyone
can be up there
and be a rock star or be a guitar god.
Sure.
Not everyone can get up there and belt out a tune in front of, you know what I'm saying?
Dunk.
So you look at these guys and you're like, man, you always, in our mind, we think it's way cooler than what it really is.
Yeah, texting service is checking in and they're right about this. So the most successful that I can think of is Bon Jovi. Like, Bon Jovi's still with the same woman that he dated when he was in high school.
But she's not
a model.
Huh?
She's not a high-level model, though. That's what we're saying.
Okay.
But that's like that's the rock star life, right? You become a rock star, you get a hit, you date the model, you get the crazy exotic car, you have mountains of cocaine.
Americans, that's what we're told. You're catered to every minute of your life.
But if you could trade, if you could go, okay, like you could go back and you could be anybody's life and you're like, hey, man, you got to be a 20-year run, right? You got to do it. I would, looking at lives, I'm probably going Justin Timberlake, right? As far as like
Jessica Biel.
Oh yeah, he's good.
Did the thing in the '20s, and then like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just.
You got to go Lenny Kravitz.
But they've only been together for a short period of time.
Really?
What, 6, 7 years?
Yeah, you know, they could, of course. But as far as musician, kind of rock star.
Shannon Tweed was a huge model. And her and Gene have been together for a long time. But he's also admitted to cheating and stuff the whole time. So
he was. But, I mean, that's not really even a marriage, really, if you think about it. That's just, together.
They've been together for a long, long time. And now they are married. So
that dude banged like 1,000 chicks on the side. That's not a marriage I know.
Yeah, no, I know. I get that.
And then people are saying Seal and Heidi Klum, they were together for a while. And that's, that she is, that's nth level model, right?
Yeah. And they had a couple kids, but it's the long run. It's like the ideal kind of, if you could do the whole deal.
And you think with Heather Locklear, I mean, do you think that it is
this difficult? This is not the first time with her, right? With the mental issue?
It's not. And
this just happen with the gun thing? I thought we were talking about the same thing that happened to her.
No. This just happened in the last 24 hours.
She was arrested back in February for felony domestic violence against her boyfriend. Like, she was beating up her boyfriend. And so you wonder if a lot of this has to do with the fact, as she's getting older, she kind of relied on her looks for a lot of what she did. And I wonder if it's just difficult as an, when you're an actress and you get older, a lot of times you're not accepted like you used to be.
Right. Yeah.
I wonder, cause I know that a lot of drinking is involved with
but
this.
But she still looks good though.
She does look good.
She's 56 and still looks pretty darn good. She was with TJ Hooker, right?
I was trying to think of everything that she did. I think TJ Hooker was one of the big things.
That was a big hit. That thing was on like 10 years, wasn't it?
But Heather Locklear was known for other things, wasn't she? Than TJ Hooker?
Well, she was like a pinup girl in the 80s. I know that. And she was on, was she Baywatch?
All right, so she was in Chips. She was 8 Enough, Dynasty, The Fall Guy, Fantasy Island, TJ Hooker.
She had a run, man.
She did The Love Boat, then she did The Fall Guy again. And then
those are guests, though. You know,
Melrose Place. Yeah, and then
there you go. Melrose Place. That's the one.
Yeah, they started doing that. She was in Boston Legal.
Yep, that's another one.
She's done the voice of King of the Hill of Peggy Donovan.
She was Peggy.
Yeah.
Peggy Donovan. No.
So the most recent stuff that she was on, 2017, Fresh Off the Boat, 2016 to 2017, Too Close to Home. And then 2013, Franklin and Bash.
Oh, no.
That's just all her TV work. In film, the last thing she was in 2013 was Scary Movie 5.
Okay.
Oh, my God. Hey. This picture of her, like this booking picture of her.
Bad, yeah.
Oh, my God almighty. That is as, I mean.
Is it bad or is it like hot bad?
I will tell you, it's this bad. And I don't mean this disrespectfully because I really don't want to make light of people who have mental illness. That is, I promise you guys, I'm not that guy. But if you look at this picture, and then there's a picture right below her, I believe relatively in the same time frame, and it just shows you the wonders of makeup and idea of a makeup artist. Because, I mean, it's a totally different human being.
Hey, David Bowie and Iman, were they still together when he passed?
Yep. Yes.
They were together for a long, long time then.
That's probably, yeah.
And then Eddie Van Halen and Valerie Bertinelli were together for a while.
Yeah, they were like together 15 years or so.
Yeah. Which is a big success in my book. All right. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Monster of the Morning.
Someday, Alexa will do everything.
Alexa, can you unclog the toilet?
Yeah, I'm kind of busy right now.
But until then, just tell her to play Real Radio 104.1 on iHeartRadio.
Playing Real Radio 104.1 on iHeartRadio.
From the
Radio 104.1. Hey,
we appreciate you being a part of the Monster family. Listen to us all over the world, all over the country. Checking in, listening to us on the iHeartRadio app, and watching us on the YouTube channel is John Beeman, who listens in Bailey, Colorado. Listening right now. Appreciate you emailing me, buddy.
Man, Colorado. I love Colorado.
It's so beautiful.
Yes, I do.
And
that's
also,
I
have to love about it. James Wells listens to us in Auburndale, Florida. So we appreciate that, too, on the iHeartRadio app. I saw something from Colorado yesterday. I'm like, God, it's such a beautiful. It was some story or something, and they were filming in Colorado, and it is a beautiful state.
Wife and I are looking for a show for an artist that we like at Red Rocks. We're going to plan an entire trip just to go show at Red Rocks.
That's cool.
You know what? That is a good call, because it is a beautiful place. You know what? I was watching it. They were doing a story about. I was going to pull it up a little bit. There's a town that you can buy right now for like $900,000.
Yeah, it's like a ghost town.
It's a ghost town, a small ghost town. I think it might have been in Colorado, but then I was watching some other thing, and it was about the real story of the real Doc Holliday.
Yeah.
And of course, he ended up in Colorado for a little while. before he moved to Tombstone. But it is really, really beautiful area.
Yeah, the back roads of Colorado are very interesting as well because, you know, when we go up there with Code Black and his wife, that's where they're from. So they know all the cool little spots. And, I mean, they can take you to spots that you will kind of way off the beaten path that are really interesting places, just neat vistas and old, like, mining towns and stuff like that, little bridges that go across to areas that you had drive down the mountain, go across the bridge. Just cool spots, cool. Man.
Yeah, you could do all that, or you could just hang out in Denver.
That's true.
Yeah, you could on just hang out in Denver.
Breweries and dispensaries.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, that's what you're talking about.
Actually, I think the town was in Colorado, was in California, I believe. Yeah. But it was like $900,000 you could buy your own town. Mm-hmm. And it's I guess that at one time in the Wild West in the 1800s, there was a murder a day in that town.
Oh, like, yeah. Well, you can draw, when you drive that Vegas to LA run, which is awesome, by the way. If you want something really cheap and cool to do, fly into Vegas, drive to LA, and then fly out of, or fly into LA and then fly and then drive to Vegas and fly back out of to Orlando or whatever.
Yeah.
But that 2.5-3 hour drive to LA from Vegas is a winner. And if you pay attention, on the side of those mountains going through that desert, you can see old gold, like old ghost towns that were thriving one point, and they just kind of were just abandoned. They had no purpose anymore, and they're just still there.
That's what this one is. It's for sale. It's abandoned.
It looks exactly like that, by the way.
It's got a church. It's got a little downtown area.
It looks like a movie set.
It does. It looks like a movie set. It's just sitting there. And but here's my question, because I'm like, oh, that'd be fun to have your own town.
Get a loan on that easy.
Kim Basinger did that in Georgia years ago. Remember that?
I know. And she lost her ass.
She had
a
real town, though, right? It was like real proper functioning town.
I wonder if there is electricity running to this town now. Ghosts
don't need power.
Yeah, it didn't look like it had any running water or electricity. It was out in the middle of absolute nowhere.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't they just sell the property and mow everything down?
I don't know. I think maybe just because of the nostalgia effect of it. Maybe if somebody wants to buy it and create like a little, not theme park area, but like a little kind of tourist kind of thing. And
like a six-foot
territory. How would you not want to buy a place named Sierra Gordo?
Yeah.
Sierra Gordo.
I knew her.
That's the fat Sierra, right?
Yeah.
Where's it located, Angel?
In Sierra Gordo.
I mean, Nevada.
Is that close to?
It's Sierra Gordo, California, dude.
Oh, California. There you go.
But you can get the entire town on the market by a bargain price of $925,000.
Is it closer to Mexico or is it closer to like Colorado, or like
it's sitting south of the Sierra Nevadas, so it's Vegas,
and, yeah,
or Nevada. I'm sorry, and it's a ghost town that dates back to the 1860s when it was predominantly a silver producer.
Yep. A lot of those old mining towns.
Yeah. It's been there for decades. It was owned by a family for decades, and the real estate agent said they were ready to sell.
They'd find a vein and they'd mine it till it was gone, and then they'd leave.
And it was really, really hot. It was really popular for some time, and they said just people would come in and they would. They would kill each other for the gold and for the silver.
The closest town to the Sierra Gordo is Lone Pine, California. And then they're saying it looks straight out of Westworld. It's nearly 300 acres of land, historic buildings, and which may be restored. History is both violent and rich in economic growth. And it's basically, you're basically buying your own wild, wild west town.
A little stopover kind of thing, I guess. By the way, I tried Westworld.
It looks cool.
I
tried Westworld, and for some reason, guys, I just, Jack was telling me about it over and over and over. We made kind of on my show on Fridays, we were like, hey, you watch this, and try to get an idea of what the other ones do or don't like, because I'm in The Handmaid's Tale, but a lot of guys think it's way too heavy.
Yeah.
And it is heavy, but it is an amazing show. And I tried Westworld for a couple episodes, and I just could not, man.
Yeah.
You went season one, right?
Yeah.
Season one, I didn't mind, but season two, I lost interest.
People told me you got to give it 4 episodes before you really kind of sets in. But even I'm already confused after like 2 episodes.
It is very confusing, and if you watch them like kind of here and there, like I've been watching, I kind of give up on it.
Yeah. So you're the same boat as me.
Okay, good. Yeah. Season two, I kind of gave. I thought it was cool, and I really liked the concept, and I didn't give up on it season one. But this one, I'm just like,
you know what? I would
so
tell you guys both
there.
To give it some space, let it air a little bit, and revisit it because it's really good. What happens is, I think, in this day and age where we want everything so quickly, it's one of those ones that you have to kind of pay attention to.
Yeah.
It's a slow burn. It's a slow build. All those things, but there's some great acting going on.
Good
thoughts or concepts that are being kind of bandied about in this that kind of reflect. Where we could end up at.
I think maybe one of our next little, by the way, I love this bracket thing we're doing. I think it's a lot of fun. You know, the bracket thing we do with the TV themes, and we've done it before. Yeah. I think TV bad guys or movie bad guys may be a good one. I will tell you, I think if you look at his body of work.
Oh, we can do that next. That's good.
I don't know that there's a better bad guy than Ed Harris.
When you look at his
entire career, he's always been these very bizarre, maniacal bad guys that aren't like purely evil. There's always some kind of drive or reason why he's doing the things he's doing, but inherently it sucks.
What are some of the other? I'm not thinking
the Truman
of,
Show, dude.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I didn't really remember
the
Truman Show.
Idea of Truman Show. He born a baby.
Yeah.
For a television show, right. And he controls every aspect of this human being's life.
Yeah.
No consideration for
you're the leaving out the best time he was a villain.
Oh, well, Abyss?
The general in The Rock.
Right.
Also, oh, but no, in The Abyss, he was a good guy.
I thought in The Abyss, was he a good guy in The Abyss?
Yeah, 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 he was a real good guy, yeah, yeah. He was the hero guy.
And then Westworld, he's that kind of character?
No, he's amazing in Westworld.
No, when you just said that, so I started thinking, okay, if we had to pick brackets, like what bad guys, and Machete comes to my mind right away.
Danny
Trejo. We're going to do this next, and you guys are going to start wasting your picks out here and throwing it out.
Well,
yeah, go ahead.
I'm letting him talk.
Yeah, go ahead. I already know.
Hold on, dude. I've said one name.
Oh, yeah, but he's ready to fire off like 10.
Well, I'm just trying to think of.
And you take Machete, you take Ed Harris, I won't pick him. I'm not going to pick him either.
I'm going to wait until we actually do the draft.
Now, stop. For a second, I did say, like, his entire body of work. I didn't say one particular performance. I said, but if you look at Ed Harris's characters,
so best
the people he
guys.
Chooses, he chooses those guys. And I'll give you another great example. John.
Oh, look, another one. Okay, go ahead. Carlos, are you writing these down?
Oh, absolutely.
Yes. Go ahead, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
My relationship with Angel is one that teeters, Russ. It teeters on love and hate.
One second he's buying me a bagel, and then the next second he's like, what? Shut up!
John Lithgow.
Yeah.
So there's another guy that takes these weird roles where you look at him like his bad guy on Dexter is one of the all-time bad TV bad guys.
What about the guy from Die Hard?
Alan Rickman?
Alan Rickman, yeah.
He did Harry Potter.
He was a bad guy in that.
Yeah, you're right.
He's a pretty...
You should take that one,
you guys
too.
Keep on talking.
So you're a bad guy...
Carlos is sitting on like 10 of them.
Not just one character, but for the...
I think you would... I think to make this, to zero this in, if we're going to do this and do this the right way, we got to... You pick the actor and the most villainous role he played.
Yeah, you have to play the role. Yeah,
the most one role?
But I'm telling you, you can say that. There's no problem, and I agree with that 100%. But I'm telling you, when you're voting and you're looking at that bracket, somebody's going to look at it and go, oh, well, he did one bad guy, and the rest of the time he was Bob Saget.
No,
when you say that, I think Heath Ledger as the Joker, that's going to be hard to beat.
No, that's what I'm saying.
But then someone's going to say Darth Vader.
If you narrow
in that cowboy movie.
If you narrow in the focus and you say, hey, this actor...
that cowboy movie. Yeah.
Oh, look at you.
This actor and this role, and this was the most villainous role. I think that helps everybody, all parties involved.
No, I think it'd be better to do the overall body.
I think the overall body.
The overall body.
No, because if you look at the overall body of Ed Harris's career, he did some really awesome. I mean, he was a coach.
Yeah, 3-1, dude. You lose.
He was a coach in radio. Okay. How are you going to be mad at him?
You can't go back to radio.
Christoph Waltz.
Oh my God.
Christoph Waltz. That guy. I mean, he is the best bad guy.
Evil incarnate because he's so proper. It makes it even worse.
Talking. And in everything he does.
You just took one of Carlos's, though. I'm telling you straight up. I saw it in his face.
He saw me flinch.
I saw you. I saw Carlos die.
Hey, that's why it's a draft. When you draft, you just got to try to pick the best ones first.
This is a good one, right?
Yeah. But you got to go with their body of work, not just one role.
And real quick, no horror films. In other words, no Jason or anything like that. None of those people.
These are actors that are great bad guys.
No makeup or no significant makeup or anything like that.
What about James Gandolfini?
He's not in makeup. I'm saying none of the horror characters like Friday the 13th or Michael Myers or guys like that.
Yeah, but James Gandolfini is really only known for one character.
And he's not a villain. He's an anti-hero.
And now you have problems with guys like this.
He just blew his mind.
Now you have problems with guys
confused.
Who have had incredible roles in Oscar-nominated performances, but yet had one role as a bad guy, but was exceptionally good at it. You know, like Anthony Hopkins.
Oh, yeah.
Man, you guys, go ahead.
But again, it's a draft. It doesn't matter. We can spit them all out.
Yeah,
you sure can.
Because, I mean, if I get to go first, I'm pulling.
Who would you pull first?
Right now?
Yeah.
Oh, God. I think if I had to draft first, be hard not to pick Anthony Hopkins.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
Oh, wow. See how this whole conversation started?
Because
he first started with Ed Harris and how Ed Harris is the most baddest guy. And
Ed
now
Harris.
He's going to go
Harris
with Anthony Hopkins.
I love Ed Harris. He's the greatest. He's the greatest.
See how this works?
Oh, what about Daniel Day-Lewis?
By the way,
Lewis?
Can I tell you something? Your impersonation of me sucks. Why don't you? You should give me the respect that you give all the other douchebags that you try to impersonate.
I know.
At least do a good enough job like you do Jose Canseco for me. I deserve that.
I know. I'm trying to figure out what
the one you do at me is stupid, too.
that's dead on balls.
That one's spot on. Keep
all right, you're listening to the Mantra of the Morning. Thanks for all the shout-outs from all over the country, like Terry Rowland, who's listening to us right now in Battle Creek, Michigan, on the iHeartRadio app. We appreciate that. And then Todd Davis is right now listening to us in Austin, Texas, on the iHeartRadio app. You listen to us all over the country, all over the world, on iHeartRadio. I'm Russ Rollins, along with Dirty Jim, Angel, and Carlos. Remember, if you got Alexa, you can say, Alexa, play Real Radio 104.1 on iHeartRadio, and it'll do it for you. Or you can say, play the Monsters of the Morning podcast, and it'll play that as well. Guys, we got food coming today. We got tacos coming.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah, it's from Elixir, because they're doing a big push. It's a great place to watch World Cup soccer, and they want to remind you about that, so they're bringing us food almost every morning. So today we got tacos coming.
True.
Which is, that's good.
Yeah, when the U.S. made it last time, not this time, of course, because we did not, which is an absolute mar on the face of sports in America, I think.
Yeah.
Especially when all the other nations are enjoying this and we're sitting home watching. But that experience I had at Elixir that time, and they're just crammed shoulder to shoulder, drinking whiskey and watching soccer, was a lot of fun. I'm not even the biggest fan, but you get caught up in it.
That's
and
why
it's
the Europeans
blast.
Love it, because that's what they do. They go to the pubs and watch their favorite. And England won yesterday, which was a big deal for the, you know, the English team. But today, you can go to Elixir and get $2 tacos, Coronas, you got margaritas, and tequila shots. So that's all $2. that's not bad. And they're going to bring us some tacos today. That's Elixir. It's downtown Orlando on Washington Street, near the corner of Orange, Orange and Washington, and it's one of my favorite places to go downtown for food. The food is great, and David Simon is going to bring us some food today. So, right now, how old is the person, boy or girl, I guess, boy or girl, that's going to be the first person inducted into Space Force? Because you saw yesterday, the President of the United States said we're going to start a sixth branch of the military. It's starting today, so they announced to get it started as soon as possible. And it's going to be called Space Force. And daggone it, that sounds cool. I got to be honest with you. Like, so how old do you think? You think it's like maybe someone who's six right now, one day will be the first round of Space Force?
I mean, I don't even know what it is.
Space Force is...
Yeah, I mean, I know I heard the whole thing, but I don't know. I mean, I don't... What are you enforcing, though? What are you protecting, or what are you... I don't get it.
It's, I guess just in case there are other countries that are in space, we'll have our own spaceships that can blow up their spaceships.
I thought there was a global understanding that space was just going to be used for exploration and stuff like that. It was not going to be militarized.
It's a sixth branch of the military. It's be part of the armed forces, and it's going to be called Space Force.
Yeah.
And it'll be the youngest branch of the military, and he told the Pentagon to start today. Get it going.
You think Trump wakes up in the morning and goes, what distractive goose chase am I going to send the Democrats on today?
I think he's serious about Space Force.
Well, I do not think he's serious. I just don't understand what it's for. I mean, again, if I thought it had value, I'd be like, and I still don't understand anything about it.
Especially when you already have
an Air Force.
I know he's trying to stress the point that the Air Force and Space Force are going to be two different entities, but the Air Force kind of already handles that mission.
He said, "Our destiny beyond the Earth is not only a matter of national identity, but it's also of national security." And he says, "We're going to be going to Mars soon, and when we go to Mars, we got to have Space Force." And they're going to have lasers, and they're going to have everything you learned about when you're growing up for Star Trek.
Yeah. Russ, I'll go 2 years old. So, I mean, I don't know what's the sudden. I'll answer your question by saying, I don't know, I guess 2 years old. So, outside of that, I truthfully do not know.
I don't think the kid's even born yet.
You don't think the kid's even born yet that will be drafted into Space Force?
If you want to look at it legitimately and try to put some credibility to this,
yeah.
To build the infrastructure that you're going to need to do this is going to take some time. And to build that infrastructure and to do it correctly, the similar kind of infrastructure that the other branches of the military have, that doesn't happen overnight.
It says here he wants it immediately. President Donald Trump is ordering the Pentagon to start making plans for a Space Force, which will be the sixth branch of the military. He said he wants it immediately.
Now, you could go out and create the Space Force, have the cool logo, have the T-shirt, march out some potential guys that are supposed to be the first Space Force guys, but they're not going
to
be doing anything because there's no infrastructure for them. There's no spaceships for them. There's no lasers for them. There's none of that. There's no mission. There's not a mission for them yet. You know what I mean? So to have it immediately and to be able to have the press conference and say, hey, these are the new Space Force guys, yeah, he could do that tomorrow.
So what would be, okay, if you were the president and you were going to build a Space Force, what would you want your Space Force to do? Just to be able to make sure everything's
cool? Have spaceships
cool,
and lasers?
Cool in space, right?
Yeah, I remember the Star Wars program. Somebody brought that up with Reagan, and I guess it was supposed to be a series of satellites that could intercept nuclear warheads.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't that laser defense also?
I guess it was something like that. I guess maybe, is it something like that? But I outside of that, I don't know. I mean, that's the only thing that's kind of, I find interesting is I simply don't know. If you enlist, what would your job be?
I know he mentioned, look, we're going to be on Mars sooner than you think. And we need to make sure that everything
is
cool.
By him
Mars.
Doing this action, he is changing the game. Globally, it was understood. Space wasn't supposed to be militarized. Now you're creating a space force. That could be open to any kind of interpretation.
I had never heard that before.
Yeah, with NASA, with any of the space. Notice, nobody sent any kind of military kind of force into space.
Right.
That was kind of a,
Well, we have spy satellites, but never did.
No,
everyone
but that's satellites, not like.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Everyone's got satellites. I got one. space junk.
Cheap
yeah.
these days. Yeah. It's like VCRs. They used to be really expensive, and now you can get one for nothing.
I don't really know what Space Force is supposed to be about either.
No one does. Like Carlos said, this is a distraction, bro.
And I have to ask, though, doesn't this kind of all fall under the, when we talk about funding NASA, we know that under each presidency, it's looked at differently in regards to where the spending goes. And isn't this a situation like if Donald Trump does not get reelected in 2020, this won't even be? I mean, I can't imagine.
And someone else
will. Yeah,
with
people
Space
bring
Force?
Up things all the time, and then nothing.
Yeah, yeah, nothing happens. I just simply don't understand how far this will go outside of his presidency. And unfortunately, with that said, I don't know that. Let's say they do initiate it right now, and then we're 3 years into spending, $40 billion on whatever this may or may not be, and then all of a sudden, boom, it gets axed.
I thought he was cutting, government spending.
I mean,
this would be a massive, the Department of Homeland Security when Bush added that. I don't know. It just seems like a total distraction. Trump's great at this. He's great at coming out, and then the news, grabs it and goes, ooh, let's try and make it into a real thing. It's just there's so much every day that this dude pushes out that it's hard to filter through, even something that's real.
So if you were a young man, and, saying you're growing up, and a lot of young guys grow up, and they go, I want to be a Marine. I want to be in the Marine, or I want to be in the Navy. I'd love to be a naval, or I want to be, I want to fly jets or whatever. To say that you could be in Space Force probably does sound pretty cool, right?
Not according to the texters.
They're not young people going to the military.
But where do you learn to respect or respect for the military? You learn that from being around cool soldiers, having that experience. So right now, it's already getting bagged on. It's not even out the gate yet.
What are the generals saying about it? I mean, usually when
General Mathis is completely 100% against this.
Oh, yeah. What did he say?
He's like, this guy's an idiot, and this is a dumb idea.
Yeah, that's. I mean,
I might be embellishing there.
I didn't see that story.
He says, I oppose the creation of a new military service and additional organization layers. Yeah, he says he opposes it.
Think about it this way. And Jimmy, you've gone through this with your son. Getting jobs in the military, that's a hard thing to do now.
Oh, dude,
before there was a time where anybody could go and you could enlist into the Army or any of that. Now those jobs are so desirable, they don't have enough qualified candidates to get in, right, Jim?
I will not speak for any one of the recruiters that we've spoken to, but I will say this. When my son initially had his issue with his eyes, mm-hmm. and they told him that, he got that letter saying, hey, you... you know, your thresholds were different, and we knew it was a mistake. I mean, we knew that the testing was not right, and it turned out it was exactly what we thought. It was not right. He was accepted. But when he did, you should have seen that recruiter's face. He said, we just get so few people who have really high ASVAB scores and are physically ready to go right now and are looking and are motivated. They want to be in. They want to be a soldier. They want to be a seaman. They want to be one of those things that really get, you know, an airman, whatever the case may be. And for us, it's really difficult because we see somebody and then they won't meet one particular aspect of it that seems so inconsequential that the thresholds now are lower than ever to get in. It is really difficult, guys.
So,
and this is not like the Air Force, or he didn't want to be a SEAL or anything. I mean, he just wanted to get in and kind of go from there, you know?
Yeah, so now, astronauts are military, is that correct?
If you're, they're Air Force pilots.
Yeah,
they
are. Okay. Yeah, almost all of them are, aren't they?
How about this, though? Texters, thank you for bringing this up, because you guys are keen on this kind of stuff. Did he just kind of inadvertently admit to us and let us know? Because, you know, being president, you get to see the rooms. You get access to the information.
That's right.
Did he just inadvertently make us aware
that there's some
there's aliens?
That's right.
He just got shook.
We need, right?
He just got shook.
We need Space Force.
And we need Space Force because he's letting us know that there's aliens.
I genuinely think if they told Donald Trump that there was aliens, he'd be the first one on Twitter. He would leave that meeting.
And tell us
directly,
all.
Guys, people are saying there's plenty of aliens everywhere.
You're right. He'd tell us. He'd tell us all about it.
He couldn't help himself. So I know he's going to tell us first. That's one thing we can count on Donald. He will let us
He'll
know.
He'll let us know late at night on Twitter.
Yeah, absolutely.
With a bucket of chicken. And with, hey, guess what, guys?
Exactly.
There are aliens. That's why I created Space Force.
Dipping that chicken in ketchup and all.
And I got people on the Texas server saying, I'm 25, I would join Space Force right now.
I actually think Space Force sounds cool, to be honest. I think it sounds cool. I think it's a good name, but I
sounds like a Michael Jordan movie.
Yeah, it's not Space Force.
It sounds like a video game.
Yeah, yeah. And I think, I wonder where it all, because we
what
know.
What if it's this? What if it's this? Because I don't know what you're saying. What if it is not that they're aliens, but maybe that, you know, you have some sort of an asteroid or something, okay? And you know, like in the movies, we had to go get Bruce Willis to go up there and mine for it, but maybe if you got Space Force, the asteroid is coming, you hit it with a laser, save the world.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you have one of your established military entities do that already?
Because you need someone that you know, is just qualified and just spends time on space.
But you got NASA.
Do you think this is a backlash because he wanted like a military parade type thing? The way they do.
100%.
Do you think this is a backlash where, because people in the texting servers are saying, yeah, I wonder if this is one of those things where, you know, he got a lot of flack about wanting the military parade thing. And then he's like, well, maybe if I don't get that, I'll just create my own branch of the military.
Yeah,
and that will be one of the things I can hang my hat on for my presidency.
Yeah,
because
no doubt about
it. If I'm a president, I'm like, look, I'm the one that started Space Force. That's pretty damn
there's
cool.
There's no doubt that that is part of this, that he wants to be able to get ahead of. It's going to happen. One day, we are going to have a force that is operating above us. I totally believe it. Once the travel gets to the levels, I'm going to say I have no idea
actually,
when.
It already exists. Again, thank you to the Texans. I totally forgot about it. There is, in the Air Force, there already is a command. There is Space Command inside the Air Force. We already have
Space Command.
Yeah, we already have NORAD. We already have, you know.
Yeah, but NORAD is a whole defense system, right?
No. NORAD is the satellite systems that keep track of everything that's in the space.
Right. And that failed in September 11th, right?
The president counts on mouth breeders like Russ to get excited because they hear the word Space Force. Okay, well, maybe, but it does sound cool. Let's be honest with you. I wonder what their uniforms are going to look like.
Oh, yeah, probably like Star Trek.
Yeah, shiny, like aluminum, like chromoly, like that, like those emergency blankets.
right.
Just a bunch of that, and I'm sure some mirrored glass.
So, and NASA is still part of... It's not part of the military, though, right? NASA's
yeah,
not.
I don't know. Military is Marines, Army, Navy, Air Force, Coast Guard.
You think one of his aides just showed him a sci-fi movie and told him it was a documentary? Say, hey, this is a documentary.
Yeah,
and this is happening right now, Mr. Prent.
Somebody get Will Smith.
Somebody, we need to create a Space Force.
Somebody wondered last night if he fell asleep watching Starship Trooper.
Yeah.
Right.
The last thing he sees is the first thing he says. Like, that's what everybody, all of his people say. So maybe he had Sylvester Stallone talked him into pardoning that boxer. Maybe Will Smith's been in there.
You know, he came up with, I think he talked about Space Force some time ago. And then, you know, then yesterday was the big announcement that he's already talked to the Pentagon. He said he'd start immediately.
Trump's going to be 80 something years old in the future, and like there's gonna be there's gonna be Space Force in the sky. And be like, I started Space Force.
Pretty good shape for a guy in his mid 70s, by the way. If you look at it, I mean, that guy's
it's like a round shape.
His mid 70s.
It's kind of like an egg shape.
Still hits it a long way for his age. That's for damn sure. Yeah. It says here on the texting service over on the space coast, every chamber, EDC, business development. I met with a guy named Rhett Adder, and they were talking about mining the asteroid belt in the next 20 years.
Oh, yeah. They say one of those asteroids carries elements and minerals that could literally sustain us for years and years and years.
And that's one of the things they said, our own planet.
Yeah.
That's one of the things they said Space Force would do.
Yeah.
That, and then also protection going to Mars. I don't know what you're protecting from, but, you know.
Like the aliens. He's seen it.
Maybe.
That's the thing. I'm not totally against seeing a badass Space Force. I just think it's just a silly distraction, but he's really good at that.
Because I was thinking, I wonder, like, Ryan, he's 21. So he's probably going to be too old to go to Space Force. Probably a kid that's maybe 12 right now.
The kid's not born yet, dude.
Oh, I think it's sooner than that, Angel.
No, but it's good. You're right. He's going to wheel this out. He's going to have guys in uniforms and everything. I'm talking about the infrastructure where it's actual a defined branch of military, they have all the mechanisms in place. You're going to see a guy in a Space Force uniform before the end of the year.
So the first kid that can wear a Space Force uniform will be this year? Like 18-year-old now?
Look, he just told you, like you said, he just told them to work on it and get it unveiled. He's going to want to have his moment in front of a camera to do this unveiling. It's going to happen. They're not going to have any infrastructure. They're not going to be ready. They're not going to have a spaceship. They don't have any lasers.
You're making logic. I want to know when someone can wear a really cool outfit.
You know what? Before this commercial break is over, I'm going to have Space Force shirts ready to sell.
Hell yeah.
I like that. That's a good call. All right, you're listening to the Launch of the Morning. And this weekend, we're going to be at the Mascot Games. It's always a lot of fun. Mascot Games are at the Amway Center. I'm going to coach. Angel will coach. Savannah's going to coach. And Carlos is going to coach. And it's a lot of fun. You can join us this coming Saturday, 2 o'clock. It's the Monsters and the Mascot Games. It's the benefit New Hope for Kids. And it's this coming Saturday. So, are the MTV Music Awards still a big deal?
No.
I watched it last night. I was so excited. It was great.
Were you riveted?
It was amazing.
These were the movie awards.
It's a movie and TV awards.
No, they've
awards.
Combined it.
Oh, they've combined
it.
Yeah,
and I watched it for a total of 15 minutes.
Did you? Did you see Chris Pratt?
I did not see Chris Pratt.
Okay, and of course, he's got a big movie coming out this week.
Oh, yeah, Tan. I'm seeing it tonight, and you're seeing it tonight.
I'm so freaking
excited, Lost World.
Yes, Jurassic World.
Jurassic World. And Russ has got me saying Lost World.
I know. I keep thinking Lost World.
He goes, I saw Lost World last night, and the guy who's the mean guy in it, and I'm like, the bald guy with the thing? He's like, oh, I mean Jurassic World.
Jurassic World. Yeah, I am confused. But yeah, tonight it's Jurassic World. It's got another name underneath it, right?
The Fallen Kingdom.
The Fallen Kingdom, yeah. So anyway, Chris Pratt, they gave him some sort of an award last night, and when they gave him an award, he had 9 things. How did he say it? Like 9 rules of life is what he said. Did you hear any of these?
No.
They're not. I'd like to hear them because I like Chris Pratt.
I do too. And some of them are just goofy and some of them are, you know, actually are good and make sense. But it's like giving a serious speech. Number one, rule of life, he said, breathe. If you don't, you'll suffocate. Okay, that was, you know, kind of a goof there.
You got jokes.
You got jokes. Number two, you have a soul. Be careful with it. Okay, that's nice. Yeah.
That's sweet.
Number three, don't be a turd. If you're strong, be a protector. If you're smart, be a humble influencer. Which was nice. That was pretty good. Then I think we went on and talked about that a little bit. Talked about it says strength and intelligence can be weapons. And not wield them against the weak. That makes you a bully.
God, that's so true. I live it every day.
When given dog medicine, put the medicine in a little piece of hamburger. the dog won't even know he's eating the medicine. It's kind of funny.
They have pockets for that.
Yeah, those pockets are
the greatest thing ever.
Yeah.
The greatest thing ever.
Yeah, because you used to put the cheese and fall out. And it's amazing how they could sense
they know.
That pill in there.
Then he says, it doesn't matter what it is, earn it.
Right.
Okay, that's good. That's a good one.
That's a book fair poster.
Yeah. Then he said...
a little medal, like a kid holding a medal.
He said, God is real. God loves you. God wants the best for you.
True.
Believe that. I do.
Me too.
This guy sounds like a hardworking conservative.
I don't know. No. He hasn't posted any support one way or the other.
The number seven, he says, if you have to poop at a party, but you're embarrassed because you're going to stink out the bathroom, just do what I do and lock the door. Sit down. Get all the pee out first. I don't know why. That's ridiculous, right?
This is awesome that you're reading this.
Yeah.
Because you and your aversion to poop.
It's pretty funny, though.
Oh, there's more. Why are you stopping?
Why? Wait a second. I want to know what else.
There's two paragraphs to that one.
Oh, what else did he say?
Oh, you don't have it?
I don't have
all
of
it. What does he do? Because I want to know, because that party poop is always a taboo.
If you have to poop at a party, but you're embarrassed because you're going to stink up the bathroom, just do what I do. Lock the door, sit down, get all the pee out first, and then once all the pee is done, poop, flush, boom. You've minimized the amount of time that the poop's touching the air. Because if you poop first, it takes longer to pee, and then you're peeing on top, stirring up the poop particles to create a cloud.
Yeah.
That goes out first. Then everyone at the party would know that you pooped. Just trust me. It's science. That's Chris Pratt. Chris Pratt.
Carry one simple bottle of the greatest thing ever created called Poo-Pourri.
Poo-Pourri.
Because I'm telling you right now, you could spray that on a cadaver and it would smell good.
Then he said, learn to pray. It's easy and it's so good for your soul. It's funny. He threw in jokes and then he threw in some like a religious message in order to kind of still make it cool,
well,
right?
Religious is a weird word there. I think more spiritual
than
religious.
He is a religious guy.
Yeah.
He's very, very religious. Big Jesus believer, big Christian. Post about it almost every other post with the... psalm. Is that correct? Psalm.
Yeah. Then number nine, he said, nobody is perfect. People are going to tell you you're perfect just the way you are. You're not. You're imperfect. You always will be, but there is a powerful force that designed you that way. So
I like it.
So he threw in some.
Did he got?
And he got a really big, even though with a somewhat religious message and everything, he got a nice big round. People were receptive.
The award he claimed last night was the Generation Award.
Yeah.
Wow, how did he get that?
He's been in kind of a, if you think about it, for somebody who's moving from like, let's say, because you move through life in stages, like, let's imagine your high school years.
Yeah.
That's 4 years of your life. College years, 4 years of your life.
Oh, okay.
I think if you look at that generationally, sure, he's a generational actor.
Yeah, Parks and Rec.
Oh,
and,
sure,
and
man.
This. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I was thinking like 10 years.
Yeah. I mean.
So he's been Jurassic World.
Parks and Rec is where he first started.
Yeah,
he got a lot of love there, yeah.
The Jurassic World, and then you also have Guardians.
Yeah, he has in two of the biggest films.
He was in
Infinity
War.
And Infinity War, yeah. So,
yeah, film franchises of all time, and we've just seen the beginning of Guardians.
Yeah, and he'll probably be Indiana Jones.
Oh, yeah, you're right, more than likely.
Yeah, it's looking like it. It's looking like he's already signed on for that.
That's where I'll check out then. Come on, three?
Who else?
Three franchises?
Yeah,
come on.
Like, give some other actors, like maybe some in Orlando.
Come on.
Poor Chris Pine. What's Chris Pine got?
We need more Chris Pine.
But to get the ability to be that guy that can command presence and do comedy and pull off the physical aspect of acting.
And just be a cutie pie on top of it, right? Right? Almost got you there. And he is. He's a charmer.
Just for the record, you never even came close to getting me.
He was, he visited...
Shania Twain.
Let's go, boys.
Get you going. He visited a bunch of sick kids at the hospital the other day. Some friends of ours were posting it. And, he's a movie star. He's a movie star. And he's gone from being a funny, kind of goofy, lovable character to a legitimate... movie star.
Does he have a drama role under his belt, like a legit drama role?
So.
Not a dramatic role, not just yet. Well, kind of. He was in
the spaceship movie.
No. The Dark Third. He was in Dark.
Zero Dark Thirty.
You're
right.
It
wasn't that much though.
No, he's a secondary character, but he did. I mean, that was kind of.
I don't know his whole film career. I've only known you know.
Kind of Vince Vaughn-y a little bit, because Vince can pull off the physical
Vince
stuff.
Vince wishes he had this guy's career.
Look, no
a
question.
Young Vince, very young Vince Vaughn, yeah.
Yeah, but and you look at him, it's like, wow, here's a guy who can pull off, and then he kind of moves into the drama roles. He's done some of the, what do they call the romance
romantic comedies?
Yeah.
So on Saturday Night Live, they did the thing where they confused Chris Pine, Chris Hemsworth, and Chris Pratt.
Oh, yeah.
But now I think it seems like Chris Pratt's kind of taking the,
and those three, he's definitely the, because he's an actor. I think Chris Pine is as well, but Chris Hemsworth is a guy who is like a comic book guy. He hasn't really done anything else, has he?
Yeah, he's actually a funny guy. Yeah. He was in National. He was in that Vegas. What was the name of that? Remake movie, National Lampoon's,
Vacation.
He did Black Hat. He's actually a pretty good actor. He's a really good actor. He's funny. Yeah, and this Thor, even though I wasn't a big fan of the movie, he was great in it. Like, he's really funny in it. And he is this strapping, you know, awesome-looking dude. And
I haven't really paid attention to that.
Yeah, no, you have.
Chris Pine did Wonder Woman, and he did Star Trek.
And you know what? Chris is a stud muffin.
He is.
Chris Pratt is a cutie pie.
What about the dude that plays Captain America? Isn't he a Chris also?
He is Chris. Evans?
Chris Evans. Yeah.
My God.
And he looks fantastic with that beard. Man.
But by the way, that last shield for Captain America, not good.
No?
Oh,
no.
Whatever.
Come on, guys.
Come on, Jimmy.
Oh, the long one?
Yeah, that
sucked.
Horrible.
Yeah.
Thanks, Russ. I appreciate that.
That sucked. That was terrible.
Oh, it was fantastic.
Yeah, why don't you go poop
at a party? I couldn't get past the beard.
Chris Evans is a heartbreaker. He's a heartbreaker.
And all of them love Shania Twain. Every single one of them.
Last one. All of their boots have been under her bed.
All right. When we come back, Deborah Roberts will bring us the real news. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Monster of the Morning.
You didn't know anything.
In the morning on iHeartRadio, and now you can watch them every day on the new iHeart Monsters YouTube channel by going to monsters.fm and listen every weekday morning on Real Radio 104.1 from Real Radio.
Monsters Mornings on Real Radio 104.1, broadcasting live on iHeartRadio. Remember, if you want to listen to us on an iHeart, all you got to do is say, Alexa, play Real Radio 104.1, and they'll do it for you. That is pretty daggone cool. And we're doing a shout out to someone who listens to us on iHeartRadio in Prineville, Oregon. That's Larry Sunderman. Thank you so much for listening to us on the iHeart app. We appreciate that. I'm Russ Rollins, along with Dirty Jim, Angel Carlos, and now Deborah Roberts is going to bring us the real news, what's going on in the real world. Before you tell us some of the real news stuff, I just flipped over and saw what this volcano is doing.
Oh, yeah, Kilauea. Over a month it's been erupting. And you and I were talking about the stats because
it's getting worse.
It's getting worse. Yeah, because, you know, you've had previous lava flows, and now as it continues to erupt, that previous lava is just making it a slick and fast slope for the new lava.
All right. It's
just paved it. Yeah, basically, it's a 21-mile river of lava. 2100 degrees.
Isn't that crazy? Oh. It says it's added a mile to the coastline.
Yeah, the Hawaii.
That's
a lot
mile.
Of the
that's
big...
how they're built.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. That's how islands are created.
By the way, that's what Hawaii is.
Yeah,
exactly.
You know, that's why.
No, I know that, but just in this past month, it's added a mile to it. It's just that's just crazy. And they said 2100 degrees, and they're having problems with people wanting to take selfies by the lava. And what do you think the fine is if they catch you trying to take selfies by the lava?
I would say
$5,000.
Wow.
Well, listen, they're dealing with acid fog. You know, they don't need idiots going around by this lava thinking it's a tourist attraction. Bro. Yeah, man, that's a burn one.
And Deb's 100% right, because that thing's giving off some pretty noxious gases that if you hit in a wave could knock you out, and then, of course, you lose your balance. And you get vaporized.
It's called acid fog, like she said.
I have no understanding of. I've never been to Hawaii. I just picture this volcano in the middle of nowhere, kind of spewing and rolling over. I have no understanding of what it is. Like,
are you? You're fishing for a trip to Hawaii. Aren't
yes,
you?
I am.
No, I
you
saw.
Know, I've never been there either.
In perspective of Hawaii, though, it is a small part of this island.
It is.
You think that? Oh my God! All of Hawaii is being covered with a volcano. It's not accurate. There's a small part, and what it's really doing is it's killing their tourist industry, because a lot of people aren't going. Like, oh my God, the entire island has a volcano, and it's not accurate.
I believe this is the big island of Hawaii that has Kilauea, and that's where a lot of their tourist destinations are. I mean, you've already got four cruise lines that are avoiding that area, because so many of the spots that people wanted to go see in Hawaii are now off limits. So
even on that
it
big
is
island,
affecting.
Yeah, you're right, it is. But even on that big island, there's a bunch of places you can still safely
absolutely
go. But people think it's the entire island.
No.
But it's killing their their economy right now.
And that's why, you know, it's part of the, I believe it's part of the tradition, the belief that you don't take anything from the islands. You remember the Brady Bunch episode?
Yeah, and Moana.
Yeah, and Moana. Yeah. Exactly, because if you take something from the islands, not only are you cursed, but you will anger Kilauea.
Yeah, exactly. Oh. Exactly.
Think of how many tourists must have taken crap off that island, yep, and now she's really pissed.
They weren't listening. Jam yeah. Brady's ass.
So how long does a volcano usually last?
It's up to the volcano.
It could be a year.
It could be a year. It could be 10 years.
Okay, so
it doesn't matter.
Think about how long they had to have gone in order to create those islands in the past.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like how long they must have been just sitting there spewing.
Well, especially if they were just fissures at the bottom of the earth where it was, you know, the magma was coming up and it just slowly, slowly building up. You're 100% right.
Damn.
And then for that to turn into some type of, in any type of soil or the ability to hold the vegetation and life. I mean.
Yeah.
And that's part of the reason why you have black beaches around the world is because it's lava.
Hey, man.
So what else is going on in the real news?
Well, as expected, we have attorney Matt Morgan announcing yesterday that Morgan & Morgan is representing three of the roller coaster victims from last week's derailment at the Sandblaster. What's interesting is that who is being sued is the ride's owner, operator, and manufacturer, but he's not planning to sue the state agency responsible for inspecting the ride, which I'm surprised.
Politics.
Because the ride had been inspected just hours before it derailed. So it kind of makes you think, well, why aren't they included in the lawsuit? But that was my inkling as well. Yeah.
From what I saw, it had not been operational until that day, right?
Like literally moments before. I think they say, well, it's good to go. And then two people went on to me like, well, that's all we knew. All right, well, let's go.
Yeah.
You know?
Because last year they'd had a cease operation because of cracks and support beams and seats that weren't, you know, properly secure. They didn't say which two seats they were, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say it's the two that fell 34 feet.
Isn't it roller coaster in Daytona enough?
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that enough to just terrify the complete hell out of you? Really? If you think about it?
Right by the ocean.
These people are from Kentucky, so they're like, man, it's Daytona.
Hey, this must be the Hulk.
They did everything right.
I mean, let's look at it so far. They pulled off a pier.
Yeah. Hot dog, is this Dueling Dragons?
Really, if you're from out of state and you've never been to Florida, you might think everything is the same. Equivalent.
Honey, you got your wand? Because we're on Harry Potter's. I like Matt Morgan a lot. I like him on TV.
Yeah.
I follow him on Twitter. He's a friend or whatever, you know. And he was explaining what the ride situation was like. And they had two-person seat. And all they had was a rope seatbelt that went across both of them.
No, not the rope belt.
The rope seatbelt.
As if it was a kid's ride?
Yeah.
That never got above like 8 feet?
And it literally took off and within moments, like, I would love to see that series event. Like, the inspector's like, last nut and bolt, he's like, and it's good to go. And then the trash man's like, let's get it started. Boom, get on.
We strapped him in with a good-sized bungee.
Exactly. This thing wasn't going anywhere.
There's another roller coaster today, I guess, had a problem in Maryland. It was the Superman ride.
Yeah, they were stuck hundreds of feet up in the air in that case and had to evacuate and walk down those little stairs you see on the side of the roller coaster.
That would scare me to death to walk down the stairs.
And if you're underneath that roller coaster, I'd have something even more frightening for you if I'm on those steps coming down.
And if I'm correct, the Superman one is where you're laying down. You're essentially laying.
Oh, is it?
And because you're doing the Superman pose or the flight. So I think you're laying also down, which would be horrific if you're upside down. I mean, any manner.
Yeah,
stuck at the highest peak.
It's the 40th anniversary of Space Invaders.
Oh, is it really?
That started Space Force.
The right day to start Space Force,
Space Invaders, 40 years old. Launched in Japan, 1978.
So it took us that long to say that playing video games is an actual mental condition. I don't know if you saw that.
Well, the World Health Organization today, you know, and not all psychologists are on board with it.
Oh, they're not.
But I had read a story about a British young girl, I think she's 9 or 10, refused to stop playing Fortnite to the point where her father found her in the middle of the night sitting up in her bed, sitting on a urine-soaked cushion.
Oh, my God.
Because she would not stop playing the game to go use the restroom. When her parents tried to discipline her and take away the game, she slapped her father across the face because they tried to take away Fortnite.
That's not the video game. Yeah. I think that's bad parenting.
Yeah, I got a feeling if we go back in that childhood, there's some other issues.
I don't know. It's not just the video game.
There's a lot of kids out there that are just going crazy for some of those out there.
Yeah. By the way, I just hopped online to look at where this Superman roller coaster came to a stop.
Yeah.
Before they started the evacuation of said passengers.
Where was it?
Well, it was in that area that Deb was talking about where you get that added value if you're down below.
Yeah.
I mean, that thing is 205 feet tall, and it was just before the apex, I believe, of the big drop.
Oh, God.
Now, on the upslope, by the way, you had to get out basically on an incline like that and then be walked down, I guess. And I was just like, yep, a whole bunch of no thanks. I got no time for that.
I would just stay. Oh, my gosh.
Clean up aisle two.
Yeah.
I hate those rides. I absolutely hate all those rides.
I walk out. Hold my back. My back. Oh, yeah. Let's rename this the Carlos coaster.
Like, going back to the Daytona thing, the thing that's really interesting, Carlos, by the way, is the fact that I believe they announced like a number of these injuries they think could be life altering.
Oh yeah,
for these people.
Yeah.
I mean, these aren't scrapes and bumps and broken bones. I mean, these are life altering situations that pay gigantically. By the way,
What I was going to say, one of the ones who fell 34 feet from Kentucky, her name is Amanda Bostic. She was on Good Morning America yesterday. 34-year-old mother of two said, as soon as the ride started, just like Carlos said, as soon as the ride started, she knew something wasn't right. It was going too fast. It was rattling. It was knocking. Her left leg is so swollen, she can't put a shoe on.
Yeah.
She's chipped her teeth. You can imagine some people could have potentially had a brain injury from whiplash.
And that's a bad chip because she's from Kentucky.
Yeah, and they don't even pay attention to one.
We got to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk to Detective Barb, I think, is on the line. We'll talk to Detective Barb. Yeah. And then I want to, can you stay for a second? Because we talked about you this morning.
And we
want to see what you think about something. I think we all already know.
Yeah, we know.
But we could be surprised.
It's pooping at parties.
So stick around. To find out what Deborah Roberts thinks about the thing we talked about earlier this morning. Yeah. And then we'll talk to Detective Barb when we come back. You're listening to The Monster of the Morning.
Uh-oh.
Welcome back to the Monsters Mornings on Real Radio 104.1. Before we ask Deborah Roberts, we want to get with Detective Barb because she's on hold. I guess she couldn't make it in here today. She's a very busy woman. On the line with us right now from Crime Line is Detective Barb. Hello, Detective Barb. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. What are you up to today? Now, last week you couldn't see us. You were doing something special. What you got this week?
Last week I was in Melbourne with a bunch of elderly.
Yeah.
And today I'm standing here at the Crime Stoppers State Conference, which we're hosting. So obviously I needed to be here for this.
For sure.
But I really got one quick message I want to do. We're doing something very cool on Friday. We are doing a pop-up community event in Wildwood. So anybody who's in Wildwood between 11:30 and 1:30, stop and see us at the Wildwood Community Center. We're giving away free hot dogs and soda and water as long as it lasts. Come meet the chief of police. Come meet Crime Line. And we will be at 6500 Powell Road. So with our brand new fancy trailer we're going to start doing these pop-up community events all over Central Florida. And this is our first one.
Okay, very good. Are there any bad guys we're trying to catch this week or no?
No, I don't have time for bad guys. I got to go talk to all these people that are my guests.
All right, we'll see you, Barb.
All right, you going to do your thing. It's a Take the Bar from Crime Line. 407-916-1041 is the phone number.
We just got Jeff Howled.
Before you answer, let me get it all out before you answer, Deborah Roberts, because we all kind of debated what we thought you would say.
Uh-huh.
So on the way in this morning, I heard the debate about, I guess in November, there'll be a vote in the state of Florida on whether we should continue greyhound racing or not. The state of Florida is the only, one of the only states that still does it.
Yeah.
Out of the 18, 12 of them are here in the state of Florida. I heard one side talking about, oh my gosh, they're terrible to the dogs and the dogs are kept in kennels and it's horrible. Then I heard another side and they were like, oh no, they're great with the dogs. The dogs love the running. And if we don't have this particular kind of racing, then this breed will die out. And it's really good to keep the breed. Well, you've already given away.
Dude, I'm surprised you even went into this far into it. All you had to say was greyhound racing.
We need a segment.
Yeah. So you are against the greyhound racing.
I am. It's antiquated. Look, there's nobody that really even goes to greyhound racing anymore.
I don't know about that.
But that's the thing. Like, I first shot hearing it, I'm like, yeah, get rid of it. But then you have to sit back and you go, okay,
Is this a real industry that supports people? How
of
I would
course
like,
it
I would
does.
Like, I would like to look at the data. How often are dogs hurt? What is? But I don't even know if that the lady called in earlier. There's no data to check.
No,
you know,
they won't release that data. Yeah, like when you find out what they feed the dogs, it's an acronym and it starts off with the word diseased.
Yeah.
They eat what's left over. It's the diseased parts of animals that they eat. They don't even get decent dog food.
I will tell you, it's kind of interesting, Deb, because, you know, doing my poker tournament at the Daytona Beach Kennel Club for many, many years, I think it ran for almost 10 years. I was telling the boys earlier this morning that, remarkably, I thought that same thing. I was like, wow, man, this is kind of an antiquated way to entertain yourself, but it is gambling, and people do love to gamble.
Right.
And it's a form of gambling people think they can maybe figure out. Right, because they can have their theories on how the dogs will run or whatever.
Yeah, just like horse racing.
Right, exactly. So with that said, the nights that they would run the dogs that would coincide with my tournament would be packed. And yeah. When I say packed,
there are people that go.
People bringing their families and kids doing homework in the stands.
Oh, that's good parenting. That's good parenting.
That's just good parenting.
But Deborah, this is not a parenting question.
For you, the question really is how well the dogs, if you had proof that the dogs were treated well and they enjoy running after, you know, Sparky or whatever it is they're chasing, and would you have a problem with them using the dogs for gambling? Is that the problem? Or is your problem with the way they're treated?
The way that they're treated. The way that they're put down. I mean, you remember the stories years ago that when the dogs weren't fast, they just went and shot them and they were piles of dead dogs.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's the heart of your industry, then remember it's the heart of your industry. Look at just the difference between dog racing and horse racing.
Yeah.
Look at the stud fees that Justify is going to be able to pull in because he won the Triple Crown.
So are you for horse racing? Are you okay with horse racing?
I'm okay with horse racing because the animals are so lauded.
And they're treated like, kings and queens.
I mean, they are. I mean, Justify is going to get $200 million for stud fees?
Russ,
you're not going to see that with a greyhound.
Russ, they treat these horses like they're worth $75 million.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
Because they're worth $75 million.
Well, but
Deborah, overseas with the camels. They opened their first camel hospital.
It's hard for me to believe that something is either black or white. It's all bad or it's all good.
No, there's always areas.
Because
gray.
We talked to some people this morning, they said, "Oh no, we take great care of these dogs. They make us money. We love these dogs, and these dogs are part of our family. They just happen to race." We heard some of that, but then there's the other side too. So I listening to both sides, I was like, "Okay, well, you don't want the breed to totally go away."
And I don't think it would.
No.
I mean, because the greyhound wasn't created for greyhound racing, and it is a fast. You know, it is a dog that needs to run. So if you were to adopt a greyhound from one of the racetracks, you do need to be aware that the dog's going to need a lot of exercise.
Now, you know what? We 15th fastest animal on the planet.
We had the exact opposite this morning. A woman that actually adopted two of them. She said that they just lay around. They're sprinters.
They've raced enough.
Well, right. She said they're sprinters
raced enough,
and they're kind of docile and they kind of lay around.
They're very docile.
Yeah.
They're very docile. They're very, very sweet breed. And you know, a lot of times, I know when I first moved and saw the muzzles on them, the assumption was that they were just rabid animals that just wanted to tear at each other. They muzzle them because they're bored in their cages behind the scenes, and it keeps them from eating the crates.
Yeah.
Texting service is checking in this morning, 77031. That's the number. Remember, text that to Real Radio anytime you want to make a comment. People do it all the time. Now, we were talking earlier about if you had facts, Carlos, if you knew the actual facts.
Yeah.
Now, this is a fact coming in from the texting service. It's certainly worthy of vetting, but we'll say it anyway, right? It said the facts are a greyhound dies every 3 days in Florida from racing.
Okay.
Hmm. Yeah, see.
But also, we got with people who are like, oh, they give those dogs cocaine. And we talked to the guy this morning that worked there for 10 years. He said, that's not accurate because if they gave them cocaine, they're in a pen an hour before they race. It already would be coming down.
Yeah, we like to give them the most expensive drug on the planet, but then feed them dead dogs.
Right.
Yeah. That doesn't make any sense.
No, man,
you're
going to
rub your dog's gum with them, literally the biggest party drug on the planet, and then feed them S? Come on, man.
I wonder how many golden retrievers die every 3 days.
Yeah,
you know, like, I don't know.
Framing over hug?
Yeah, I don't know. I just...
Or pit bulls.
And I would think now greyhounds, they're your... How long is a greyhound's life, you know, racing?
You know? Not very long.
Yeah. Oh, no, that's actually a good question.
You know, I wonder if it's years, is it months? And that would show a lot because... I don't know. I'm not trying to keep dog track.
No,
so hoping. I just want
to. And I don't necessarily want to see it shut down and see an industry that does support people and their families and is a form of entertainment for families. You know, I'm not, you know, like a PETA bra burning screaming freak. I just, if you're going to make your money off the backs of the animals, at least have the decency to not feed them food with an acronym that starts with the letter D, which stands for disease.
Yeah.
Give them a decent diet. Give them decent accommodations. Don't put them in a crate that you have to muzzle them for because they're so bored, they're chewing their enclosure.
Right.
That's not asking a lot.
They say that the dogs can begin racing at about a year and a half old.
Yeah.
15 months or so. And they retire from racing between 3 and 5 years of age. So theoretically, they can race actively for about 3 to 4 years.
And then the problem is, what do you do with those dogs afterwards, right? Because afterwards, it's not a dog that most people want to adopt because it's not as cute, really, as other dogs.
I got Audrey online, too. She just adopted a greyhound.
Just because Audrey has one doesn't make him adorable.
Hey, Audrey.
Hey.
Hi, what made you adopt a greyhound?
Well, we had talked about it for years, and we actually had talked about fostering greyhounds, and we had lost our dog back in October, and we were doing that, are we going to get another dog, blah, blah, blah. So we went through the whole thing about, we talked about having greyhounds. Let's go and check it out. So I'm in Jacksonville, so I went to the Jacksonville, the greyhound adoption place here in Jacksonville, because we do still have an active track here.
Right.
And so we went through, there's an adoption process. You have to apply for it and blah, blah, blah. So you go in there and they're all housed in the same place.
Yeah.
They're in like these long kennels. They don't have homes. So they're housed in these big kennels. And I'm not saying that they're well taken care of, but their basic needs are taken care of. They are air conditioned. They're heated. They're not like out,
Yeah.
I don't know what they've been fed before. Obviously, when they're racing, they have a different diet. When I got mine, when you go in there, there was probably like 12 that were up for adoption. They're ready to go. So you decide which one you want. They don't let you take it home right away. You have to think about it. And once you decide, they go in and they get them fixed. They get them fully vetted. When you take them home, they're supposed to be fully vetted. They're supposed to have no parasites, no heartworms. They have them fixed. They're not fixed until you decide to adopt them.
Right.
You have all your papers.
What's been your experience with your dog, though? Like, is everything that you're saying, has it been accurate?
As far as she's okay, but they take a little while to adapt to getting, they've never been in a home, so they take a while to adapt to that. But I can tell you this. I've had that dog for 5 months now. I've been to 3 different vets. And 8 different times.
Damn.
Of parasites.
Yeah. Parasites. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, you mentioned something earlier. You said blah, blah, blah. What were you talking about there?
Ignore him.
All right, Audrey. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Audrey.
I don't think anybody would support if they were actually doing anything bad to the dogs. But if you had proof that the dogs were treated well like racehorses, just the fact that they are racing, does that bother you?
No.
No, okay. No.
Russ, but to go to this, all right. So this morning we had a guy who had this 10-year career in dog racing. And he said, oh, no, that cocaine thing, that's not really true.
Yeah.
Well, you take a second, you start doing some news, and it actually is. In the state of Florida, in the last 20 years, they've had dogs test positive for cocaine 230 times.
Oh!
And they're like, I wasn't doing it.
They're not releasing the information, and when it does come out, it's damning, and it's damaging, and it doesn't do the industry any good.
Right.
So it seems like if they had better oversight or transparency with all that information.
Learn the lesson from SeaWorld. Learn the lesson from Blackfish. Learn the lesson from the documentary and how the public just absolutely turned on that huge company, which has done so much good and continues to do so much good in Texas, California, here in Florida with rescuing wildlife, rehabilitating wildlife, something that the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission could never do on its own. Look at how the tide turned against them. If these details come out against greyhound racing, the calls for them to be shut down is going to be louder.
Well, we'll be voting in November for this.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. That's an excellent point. And the dogs were quoted as saying, I don't have a problem. You have a problem. You have a problem. I just love to race fast.
I learned it from you.
I learned from watching you, dog owner. You do a bunch of mess.
Why'd you start doing cocaine?
And apparently, I learned it
from you.
Dog racing is still incredibly popular in the UK and Ireland, believe it or not.
What, cocaine?
Well, no.
I'm not saying it's doing well here, too.
Yeah, no, I'm saying dog racing.
Oh, okay.
But that, too.
But we all know cocaine's an international language.
Yeah, and those Brits bet on anything.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
As a half Colombian, I will say thank you.
Yeah, you're right.
You're welcome.
My people, thank you.
There you go.
Although now, thanks to the Mexicans, they're taking the heat from the Colombians. We appreciate it.
Whatever. Well, we could have guessed. I guess it was pretty. We all said we thought you were going to be against the dog race, and if there was any chance that they treat the dogs bad at all, you know.
I don't agree with anything, be it people or animals. I just don't agree that you make your money off their back and then you treat them.
You know
like
what's going to be horrible is when the robots take over and they control us.
Seriously,
and they have us humans racing.
Seriously,
all right, all right.
That day is coming, man. That's that right day around is
the
coming. Corner.
And Russ is like, "Shoo, huh? Pick me.
Give me the cocaine." All right, you're
I'll go grab some from the newsroom.
You're listening to Monster in the Morning. Hey, the Daily Five. Go check the Daily Five. Started at 9 o'clock, but you can go now and see if your name is one of the five names that's up there. If your name is one of the five names that's up on the Daily Five on our website, well, you can win a pair of tickets to the Monster Midway Sweet Party at the Coke Zero Sugar 400. It's happening on July the 7th. We're all going to be out there. Angel's going to be spinning tunes. I'm going to be there with Carlos. Who knows who else is going to show up. It's a big party, and it is definitely a great time. If you want to buy the tickets, it is a value, man, because you get so much when you get these tickets to see the race, and you're going to be able to party with us on the concourse. You'll have an air-conditioned area. You're going to have a bathroom. It's really cool. Call 1-800-PIT-SHOP to just buy your tickets or try to win them by going to our website at monsters.fm for the Daily Five. And that monsters.fm is a springboard for everything we're doing. If you want to find out what's going on with Dirty Jim and Primetime Kitchen or with the show on Friday, the Jim Colbert Show, find out what's going on with Angel, with what the hell is Angel listening to, what Carlos is doing, what acting things he's got coming up, or what's happening with me in the new graphic novel and all the stuff that I got going on. All that's on our website at monsters.fm.
Yeah, we just found a video where, did you guys see the video of that couple, like, having sex on that plane? And, like, there were people on the plane?
No.
Like, chick was just riding crazy, and the couple in front of them, like, were taking a selfie, but they were filming the whole thing.
I love stuff like that.
We put that up on our blog right now. You can check it out on the online.
Go to monsters.fm, and go to Dirty Jim's blog, and you'll see that. Boom. Now it's time for Carlos. Take it to the top.
Let's go. Bing, bing. Good morning, everybody. Hello, my name is Carlos Alberto Navarro, and this is To The Top. Every single morning, try and take you to the top, make you think, make you laugh, whatever it may be. And today's no different. Today's a wonderful Tuesday here in the world of Orlando. Lots of stuff is popping. Hell's a popping. Babies crying. People shaking hands. It's insane in here. Not really, but it's brought to you by Bill Ray Nissan. Bill Ray Nissan right there on 1792 in Longwood. Check them out at BillRayNissan.com. Pick the car you want. Get your credit checked. Walk in there like a baller and say, this is what I want, and they will take care of it for you because they do business the right way. I love you, Bill Ray. Thank you for always being here with us. I am on Facebook Live right now. I'm starting to go on Facebook Live again because I feel like I have... disowned it a bit. I was the original streamer here.
Right.
Through and through and through.
Well, first we did it with Periscope.
Yes.
No, before Periscope, it was Meerkat.
For a mere moment.
We did Meerkat, then like went to Periscope.
Yeah, literally.
Went to Facebook, yeah.
And now we're on Facebook Live. So if you go to Monsters.
And we did with YouTube like every...
Well, that's what it is. We've kind of replaced our Friday mornings live, FML. But yeah, I'm on during To The Top. I hop on. I actually hopped on a segment before. A lot of cool people in there. So go to the Monsters Facebook page and you can join the party. Now, I have it written down here what I wanted to talk about. So, I just got a game changer for the Father's Day gift, and it's not the Airhawk, which is awesome.
Airhawk is pretty cool.
Airhawk used it this morning.
To do what?
Just saw a little soft pool float.
And it just didn't look like...
At 4 o'clock in the morning?
It just didn't have enough air in it. You just had to pump it up a bit.
It's a little tube. It looks like a piece of watermelon slice.
Yeah. When you're walking by that and you look over and you're like, that's never going to support me. Not the way I need to be supported.
Yeah, exactly. So I was taking the dogs out and I was like, you know what? Airhawk. And it pumped it up. The little mini air compressor is a game changer, but that is not the game changer I speak of.
Should something that simple sound like a missile?
Airhawk will crush you. All right. No, it's a legit noise. If you go to I haven't posted it on monsters.fm. I'll do it later. But if you go to my Instagram page, I posted a video of my love for Airhawk.
Can we post it? I can post it.
Yeah, that'd be great, dude. I appreciate it. Thank you. And my daughter's involved in the air hawk phenomenon.
Mm-hmm. As you wish.
And it's pretty crazy awesome. But that is not the game changer. I got something else.
Yeah.
And I've been using it the last two nights.
What's that?
And
have you been talking to Russ again?
I know Russ has this.
Oh.
And I think some of you guys have this. And my connection to it was mostly movies and TV shows where, like, the prima donna of the show would use it to go to sleep. And that is a sleep mask.
Oh, wow, yeah.
It says, do not disturb. My nights of sleep these last two nights have been better than I've had in a long time. And I'm focusing on getting better sleep. I have a sleep mask, Jimmy, for you. It says, whose bed have your boots been under? No, I have a mask that says, do not disturb. And Jimmy, do you use a sleep mask?
I do not. I really don't have a problem sleeping.
I don't either. I'm trying to get even better sleep.
I do. But I don't use a mask. I put a whole pillow over my face.
Oh, my God.
And you still see alien lights.
Yeah, I know.
I know.
I put
the temptation that must be for your wife.
The sexy pillow on face.
Yeah. I don't have a problem with sleeping usually at all. As long as I have my mouthpiece, like my snoring guard thing,
yeah.
That thing, I mean,
what do you think? You think,
yeah, maybe
but
so.
Scientifically, it's proven, Jimmy, that if you have any light piercing through your room, any light,
mm-hmm.
it's not letting you get that full REM.
Yeah, well, I don't have a vacant Shoney's near my house that cops have to go over there and rustle up bums at where I get a light show in my bedroom every night.
It's not Space Hawk. It's what? It's
Air
no,
Hawk.
No, you're thinking of Space Force because you want to
what
be
is wrong?
Air Hawk. Okay,
handheld air compressor will change your freaking life.
Air Hawk.
But this sleeping mask,
Space Hawk's
man.
Cooler.
Space Hawk is cooler. Maybe for spaceships.
Okay. Yeah.
But I woke up with the said sleep mask on and I thought I had gone blind for a moment.
Really?
Yeah, because I was like,
So it's like an added extra surprise when you you wake up, you're like, oh, I'm still breathing. I can't see. Whoa, wait a minute, I can see it.
That sounds like a really traumatic 20 seconds.
It was. I was like, oh, this is it. Them cookies hit it. I got diabetes.
But when it's totally black, it's much easier to go to sleep. Total blackout. Yeah.
I slept so well, so I'm passing this on to you Motivational Minute listeners out there. Get yourself a sleep mask. My daughter got me one for Father's Day at the Dollar Tree. I know my wife goes there all the time. She bought me it, and it was like through the daughter and whatever. Right.
Now you want to step it up a little bit? Go a little step
suffocate
up?
Suffocate your face with a pillow.
Now what you got to do is you got to get that app or whatever where you can play Thunder and Rain. And
I thought the Imagine Dragons song. I was like, dude, get a light.
No.
Thunder. Feel the thunder. You can boom, boom,
thunder
boom,
and rain.
When I go to sleep, thunder, thunder.
You will sleep like a baby.
Because I got to sleep. Thunder, thunder.
And then get you a CPAP.
You
snore. I know you snore. With a nose like that,
yeah,
you got to
snore. Hey, nose is passing clean air. In the back in the day when I had allergies and the deviated septum from getting in too many fights.
You don't snore at all.
I do not. I'm a loud.
So your wife would say you don't snore.
You want to take that bet there, Rollins Blue Eyes?
I'm just asking.
You want to take that bet? Because I'm a loud mouth breather for sure.
Yeah.
I will breathe loud as hell. Oh, I also put this on. So in the Navarro household.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I already got this, dude. Okay. I was telling you about this. I showed you the app.
Ooh, sleep.
Yeah, I put this
sleep
on.
Wars. Sleep battle.
Sleep force.
This and thing, are you ready for this? It's just off YouTube.
Yeah.
It's called 9 hours of constant rain.
Yeah. Jimmy, you understand that people just instantly fell asleep on I-4 because of this.
Yeah, 9 hours of constant rain. Just out of curiosity, how many views do you think this video has? I mean, they're just using it for the sound.
10 million.
You're low.
Right.
15.
13 million times that's been used.
Man.
Yeah. It'll make you sleep like a baby.
And Jimmy, you sleep in total silence.
Yeah, well, usually we have the TV on until and then whoever falls asleep first will turn it off. But yeah, for the most part.
Yeah, well, I have to have that, and then now my sleep mask, and I'm sleeping great. I pass that on to you. But
because of your stress nowadays, they said Americans need now 8 hours of sleep. We've always been told 7.
Yep.
With more stress that we have, and also more stimulation with social media and all this kind of stuff. And so now, I guess World Health Organization are saying.
Man, they're going left and right now.
Yeah. That humans need now 8 hours. Asleep.
Yeah, well.
And by the way, in the game of rain sounds to go to sleep, the idea of thunder or no thunder is a gigantic deal.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, they put in here, like, if it's rain sounds and there's no thunder, in all caps, no thunder.
Oh, okay, because it probably gets scary. Yeah,
maybe people trip out about it.
I like the thunder.
I don't mind the thunder. Now, we're talking sleeping. Let's talk boning, like Russ likes to say.
I bring the thunder in bed.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to talk about, Russ. The thunder you bring in bed.
Mm-hmm.
Or the two Akron, is it Akron, Cleveland, right?
Akron.
I was sitting there going,
Akron,
why that's not wrong? Two Akron firefighters accused of making porn at the fire station.
This has happened before, I believe.
Now.
At police stations.
You may be right. And initially I was like, well, hell yeah, let me see a little live leak of that ripped-ass firefighter dude, hot-ass firefighter girl.
Slide down that pole.
Yeah. And then I saw the guy.
Oh.
And the girl. The girl, yeah. The guy looks like he may own a couple greyhounds racing.
Oh.
And I still like to see the video just for the production quality. But you got to be horny as hell to risk your job, your credibility, your standing to bone in the firehouse and then send it out.
And they made a porn video, right?
Yes, they did. Yes, they did. They made the video.
Did he get in trouble?
They had a whole press conference on it.
Is that kind of frowned upon?
I guess you're not allowed to film a porn in the firehouse.
Yeah, you probably shouldn't do that.
You know, kind of crazy days we live in. But you know, what are you gonna do? And is there a lot of YouTube firefighter porn?
Yeah, I don't think you can't get stuff like that on YouTube.
You porn.
I think you have to go elsewhere to find that kind of thing.
I did learn about from the staircase that there is military porn.
Yeah, yeah, there's plenty of that for sure. That's also a giant no-no.
Yeah, yeah, I did not.
Yeah, that's
know
definitely no face, no nothing. Yeah, no tattoos for sure.
Yes. Well, listen, I am going to see Jurassic World tonight.
Yeah, I'm excited about
Russie
seeing
that. Ray will be
and
there.
And for me to step late is I don't like to do that.
I
but
know.
This movie is it's. So it's 7:30, right?
7:30, 8:30, 9:30. Oh, damn! It's late for us, man.
Yeah, two nights in a row.
Yeah, crazy.
Up late, waking up crazy.
But I've been preparing. I've been watching.
Gotta call the cops out to Horgate again.
Lost World. I've been watching Jurassic Park. I know we're all up to date. Where is that shaving cream full of dino DNA?
Wow.
Will it come up? Who knows? These burning questions and more.
Crazy.
Do you think that was supposed to represent that? I always had a theory that that's just supposed to show you how quickly
it can be gone.
It can be gone.
Oh, right.
Considering
yeah.
the life of the dinosaurs and how it kind of all went away, how it could just go away again like that.
That's true. I like that. And I do know one thing. Today will be a great day. To the top, never stop.
All right. Thank you for listening to the Monster of the Morning on Real Radio 104.1. Don't go anywhere.
This season, you can hear Orlando City Soccer play on Real Radio 104.1 and FM 96.9 The Game. Go to realradio.fm/soccer for the broadcast schedule and latest soccer news. Real Radio.
And listen to us on the iHeartRadio app is Sean Story. Listen to us right now in Missouri. Appreciate that. A truck driver. And then Missouri. We got Nate Nordby listening to us right now on iHeartRadio in Fargo, North Dakota, part of the Monster family. Appreciate that. If you want a shout-out, email me, russ@wtcast.com. If you have a question, you want something for us all to discuss, you can say, hey, don't use my name, you know, keep it anonymous. We can do that. And if you got a particular situation going on in your life and you want to ask your friends about it, but you kind of want to see what someone who doesn't know you thinks, because a lot of times you can get different advice from friends because they don't want to hurt your feelings.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah, all the time.
And we don't mind hurting your feelings. So you can email us, russ@wtcast.com, and we can kick that around. I got a couple of those we can do a little bit later. Hey, I'm Russ Rollins, along with Dirty Jim and Carlos, and now Angel is going to bring you the Monster Sports.
Monster Sports brought to you by my great friends over there at Harry Buffalo. This Saturday, I will be your pre-party right there on Church Street. We'll have a street party for Orlando City Soccer match versus the Montreal Impact. The match is at 7 p.m. I'm usually out there a couple hours before the game and getting you ready for the match. Another thing they want me to remind you, back in the day in Orlando, one of the neatest things to do was to go on Church Street. There was a couple of different establishments that had the dueling pianos. Well, Harry Buffalo is bringing back the dueling pianos once a month. The next one is going to be July the 6th. It's the first Friday of every month at 8 p.m. You go down there. They have the dueling pianos. It's a lot of fun. You go down there. You request songs. You sing along.
That's cool.
And, it was one of the iconic things to do on Church Street.
It's a perfect spot for it.
Yeah, they're bringing it back. So, bringing back the fun to Church Street is what they're going after here. So definitely check that out. We'll put that on your calendar. We'll be checking that out as well. Happy Juneteenth Day. Celebration to that. It's Freedom Day or Emancipation Day. So everyone, enjoy your celebration of that. This interesting little tidbit here. DeAndre Ayton. You guys are familiar with the name yet?
Yeah, possibly a first-round pick.
First pick of this NBA draft, which goes down this Thursday.
He's a beast, man. I think he's a second coming of Shaq, to be honest.
He's already signed. Yeah. This is how secure that they think he's going number one. He's already signed his shoe endorsement deal.
Yeah, man. This is a bold move.
If you guys had to guess what shoe company, I think Carlos might know already. Which shoe company do you think that DeAndre signed with? Jimmy.
I'll go Adidas.
No. Russ.
Puma.
It is Puma. He's projected the number one pick, and he signed a four-year, multi-million-dollar footwear and apparel endorsement with the brand. Now, what's interesting is the mindset that he's taken with it. He was quoted as saying, I'm an entertainer. Puma knows entertainers. Wow. And the way that they move is one of the big reasons that he did it. The other thing was, and this is interesting, remember that he came up through AAU basketball. So this is him and what he tweeted out. Nike is Nike, Adidas is Adidas. I've played in their circuits and stuff like that, but now it's business. You don't just want product. You're not a kid anymore. You're really trying to get bank. That's what it's about.
Wow. Yeah. He just straight up said, they paid me a boatload of money. And I like the logo. They made it his hair. Kind of like his hair.
And to coincide with that, it's really interesting. The other person that they announced with and who they're partnered up with, the guy that's in direct creative control or creative president for Puma is one Jay-Z.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
They made that announcement yesterday.
Understood to be one of the more progressive apparel brands on the planet right now. A lot of the guys who they sponsor in the game of golf are like the real out there guys, the flat brim hats.
Yeah.
The guys who like Bryson DeChambeau is a real kind of unique golfer. I mean, it's really cool what they're doing with that brand.
I'm interested.
Puma's been around for a while.
Haven't been in the NBA for quite some time. Yeah, the last endorsed Puma guy or a real famous guy was I forgot his name. He was with the Knicks. He's one of their broadcaster now.
Oh, Walt Frazier?
Walt Frazier. He had the last signature shoe from Puma.
Damn.
You know what I mean? So for them to come back to the NBA.
Yeah.
It's a young brand.
Yeah, because
Puma?
Not young. Okay. In other words, I think they have a lot of young people using their brand.
When I was in high school, okay, Puma was our official wrestling shoes. The entire team had Puma's shoes.
They still make a lot of them. My boy used them as well.
And then in recent time, Puma's been more affiliated or associated with entertainers. Rihanna, Meek Mill, all these guys have had their special edition Puma sneakers. So for them to jump back into the NBA, it's
And would you agree, Angel, they've kind of kept some classic design elements to that?
Absolutely.
They haven't gotten into the space shoe thing that the basketball shoes are into now?
Yeah, one of the iconic sneakers still is the suede. Puma, the Clyde. In my lifetime, I've probably had about six pair of those. When do you know it's time to just give it up? What do you think is
to give what up?
The thing that you love. The thing that you love. When do you think that you have the wherewithal to understand that moment and be able to accept it gracefully?
Oh man,
no.
It depends on what it is.
It's tough
because I think some of the guys that don't do it well at all. Are athletes.
Oh, yeah.
And this guy, man, for whatever reason, Terrell wants to play in the NFL right now.
Terrell Owens.
Terrell Owens, the guy that was just inducted into the NFL Hall of Fame and decided to be a no-show. He posted a video yesterday, and he was showing off, he's showing off his workout. He's 44 years old. Is there a team in the NFL, do you guys think, there's a team in the NFL that would sign Terrell Owens to a,
How fast does he run?
He ran a 40-yard dash in 4.43 and 4.44.
Now, is that good or is
that is still very sick. Good.
That's incredibly good.
Why not then?
He's a pain in the ass.
But could you imagine a team, I'm going to tell you straight, could you imagine a team taking him third and six, bringing a guy like that with great hands, can move his defender off the line. I mean, I don't know, dude.
If he's Jerry Rice, you sign him. But he's Terrell Owens.
Who's still considered one of the best that ever played.
Oh, no doubt. But his personality and his track record are insane.
A pain in the ass.
You can't pay him. The guy, it was suicide attempts. It was trouble with the law. It's trouble with women.
Maybe a guy like Belichick or maybe a guy like that you don't believe in.
Yeah, but if you're, because you're hiring him on, he's not your number one receiver. He's going to be your third or your fourth option, right?
And he'd have to understand that.
And you need him to understand that. I don't think he does.
Yeah, I think he says he does.
I think he thinks he's still going to be the one number, because the last thing that you need is your third or fourth option popping off to the media I'm not getting the ball enough, you know?
And you know that's it. I mean, that was his game, Randy Moss's game. All the greats talk about it.
Jerry Rice is that kind of outlier, and that's why he played so long.
It was just, he's got the ball.
Yeah.
This has been a fascinating story with one John Cena. John Cena never really gotten himself in any kind of real trouble.
No controversy.
And this is not really trouble. Kind of controversial a little bit. He's got his relationship thing, but there seems to be working out for him. I'm happy for the guy. He's got a nice little Hollywood career, all these things. But he kind of stepped into it with one auto manufacturer.
Oh,
Ford.
Oh, well, really?
Oh, that's one of his sponsors.
Ford hooked him up with when they first brought back the Ford GT.
Right. They did.
He got one of the first Ford GTs, the new version of it. And that's, a really cool car. Now, they gave it to him with the caveat is, hey, listen, you can't sell this.
Right.
Yeah.
We're hooking you up. You're getting one of the first ones, one of the first runs, with the understanding that either you give it back to us, but you can't go out and sell it on your own. Well, somewhere, somehow, that was kind of missed in translation.
Lost in the communication.
Yeah, and he put it up for auction, and he had a contract-breaking sale of his Ford GT. And basically, Ford went after him, started suing him for the car, breach of contract he signed with the company, promising that he would keep the car for at least 2 years. And that was the deal. He needed to keep it for 2 years. It looks like he sold it within that period.
Mm-hmm.
So luckily, it looks like they were cooler heads have prevailed, and he settled with Ford, and they're playing nice again.
Yeah, so, that was one of the sponsors. It just seems so silly. Like a guy who has a ton of dough on top of it,
Yeah, it doesn't seem like you need to do that.
Yeah.
If you're okay, so in sports memorabilia world, we became familiar with one J.R. Smith this past NBA Finals.
Yes, we did.
He had that one singular moment that hopefully he can get out from underneath. And he's the guy that in the game one of the championship, the finals, he inexplicably takes the ball, runs away, and where Cleveland could have stolen game one.
And let me tell you, I've gone back to look into his life a little bit. He's not a very good track record, man. Personally and basketball-wise, I mean, he killed somebody drunk driving.
Yeah,
There's a bunch of really bizarre things.
A lot of baggage.
A lot of baggage with J.R. Smith, and all this doesn't surprise me. What's going on with him?
Now I was trying to see who got someone got their hands on the jersey, and I'm trying to I had that for a second, but someone got their hands on the jersey that he was wearing that night, and it's up for auction. How much do you think is the starting bid for this thing?
Are they putting it right next to the OJ and Hernandez jersey?
No.
Which one of his friends accidentally stole that?
Yeah, I'm trying. I had it here.
$600.
Not $600.
No.
It's got to have some value. That's a pretty iconic moment.
That's an insane. If you're a Golden State Warriors fan, and I got the dough, I'm paying whatever it is so I can put that in my game room. And when my friends come over, I go, that's the jersey.
You know who else buys that? What if you own a bar in San Fran?
Hell yeah.
You put that up there and you hang it from the rafters. You're like, we have the Bonehead Hall of Fame. But you come in there and, you see the jersey. I'll say $3,500.
It's the NBA that's putting up the jersey for auction.
Oh, for a charity.
And it's the starting bid right now is $3,000.
That's a weird look for them, is it not?
Yeah, I don't remember in a recent time them putting
even
up
the jersey. Even they're grooving on
it,
huh?
Yeah, that's a weird look for them.
We all know you must know.
It must be for charity, right? Maybe it's for JR's charity or something? Because who else would... Huh, that's
interesting. Yeah,
I'm thinking he would have control over that, though.
All right, so we got the
Cleveland property.
NBA draft coming up here pretty soon, or Thursday, and I know a lot of people have been talking about that. It looks like the Orlando Magic, or they want the Orlando Magic to draft Trae Young. Another name for you to keep out or keep an eye on is out of Missouri, Ford. He's 19 years old, is Michael Porter Jr.
What do you think of, what is his name, Colin Sexton, the guard? Because they're saying that might be the pick over Trae Young. And I mean, Magic just need to do something with somebody with a name. And Trae Young has a name, and he could be this great player.
We'll see, but that's another name they've been throwing around. So we're a couple days away from that. As we get closer, we'll give you some more information on the NBA draft.
Hey, Angel, didn't you tell the story? I think you did talk about this where with Mexico when they won. Everybody was jumping up and down. It was like an earthquake.
Small earthquakes. Yeah, I was actually going to play some audio for you because we've had some pretty epic wins. You mentioned earlier England's win.
England won, and they weren't expected to win, right?
No, and this is what that goal sounded like.
It's World Cup soccer, obviously.
We cover it all here on the Monsters.
Lucky hand, fish and chips.
So that's Harry Kane's goal. And it's really fascinating with that kid, the captain of the English team, and his fascination with Tom Brady. He's molded himself and used him as inspiration, for his career. This is the audio for, let's see where I had it. This is Mexico when
they weren't expected to win.
Hell yeah.
What's the next big match, you know?
Today's matches are, and they've already started, they're getting ready to start now at 11 o'clock. Let's see. The first one is... right now, Colombia and Japan are playing, and Japan is up 2-1 on them.
Japan's beating Colombia?
Yeah, or I think that might have been the last night's game. Hold on, I can't see. But I know at 11 a.m. we've got Poland versus Senegal, and then you've got Russia versus Egypt at 2.
Ooh. How does Senegal get in there, and the United States can't get in this thing?
So we're not in it at all.
No, zero.
And Senegal sounds like a medicine.
And it's really hurt Team USA, USA Soccer.
It's an embarrassment. Yeah, it's a global embarrassment.
The way that the seeding is, or the
our girls' team made it.
Are playing out. They could have done something this one, and that's Monster Sports.
Thank you, Angel. You're listening to the Monster of the Morning.
Real Radio is
the Phillips File.
Weekday afternoons at 3.
Okay, question number 10. Cast one.
DACA
is incorrect. Okay.
Welcome to the Monsters of the Morning on Real Radio 104.1, and we are broadcasting live on iHeartRadio. Appreciate all the listeners. Here's one that we all know. It's an evil eye. Michael Golf listens to us in Lake Jim, Florida.
Lake Jim.
On the iHeartRadio app. We appreciate that.
Maybe the greatest Monster fan of all time.
If not, he's in the top three.
He is, and he's a hell of a good person, and his wife is as well. His whole family, good people.
Hey, so I'm sure this is going to bother Angel for some reason. I don't know that it bothers me at all. And if given the choice, like if it's that everyone could just do it, I would just, I can't think of a reason why I wouldn't. But now iPhones, the iPhone people say, listen, now 911 can tell exactly where you are when you call them. Now, like not just general area, because you know how a lot of time it's like, well, they're pinging from this particular tower,
right?
So they're in this 10-mile radio. No, now they can tell exactly when you call 911.
They track you, geolocate you exactly.
Exactly.
That's just for Apple, though, right? I read that story today, and I was like, that's just Apple.
It's just Apple.
And that's different, Russ. That doesn't bother me because
doesn't?
No, because that's
enacted by an emergency call.
Yeah, I'm the one doing that. I'm hitting it. I'm in distress. I need help. I need you to come find me, get me, any of those things. And I find that to be different as opposed to the satellite that's beamed on me right now that's following me everywhere I go.
And we know that getting into Apple stuff is that's the feds have a difficult time.
So if we all had the ability, let's say, so like when I call you, Angel, and I had the ability to either turn it on, enable it, or not, disable it, and I can enable where you would know exactly where I'm calling you from. Would you have a problem?
Yeah, that's intrusive, dude.
Yeah, you. But
look, it would be your decision. No, 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 you could say, nope, I don't want anyone to know. Or yeah, you could say, yeah, I don't care if you know.
I'm always going to turn that off. There's no need for you to know where I'm at when you're calling me.
Yeah, yeah.
I need to be able, if I'm dropping a deuce, I need to be able to do that without you knowing.
Well, to say the house, it didn't say what part of the house.
If I'm, you know, on just the wrong side of town for whatever my personal choices are, I need to be able to do that and not get any heat from
See,
you.
I would have no reason to disable that. I mean, like, I don't care if anyone that I actually take time to call, I don't care if they know where I'm at.
Really? I don't understand why you need to know, so I would say no. But do any of you guys in your families have tracking in your families internally?
Yeah. Like
I got the little tile thing. I have the tile on my kid's book bag.
Yeah, so we have that Find Friends thing with Apple where you can track. So my wife and I, and then my daughter, she lives at home.
Yeah.
So we track her because we want to know when she's out and around or whatever. But for the most part, it's just my wife and I. In case something happens, we know what's going on. Let me tell you what. That thing has come in handy quite a lot.
Well, that's similar to what I'm talking about. I mean, it could just be an extra feature where if your wife calls you, you know where she's calling you from. You know, same thing with my son. Like, I'm paying for the phone, so I want to know where you're at is the way I look at that. I don't know. What do you think, Carl? It's like,
I don't know.
No idea. Apple says that from now on, when you call 911 with Apple, you know, with the iPhone, 911 will know exactly where you are.
Well, I mean, that's a wonderful thing. In that realm, right? Like that, in that scenario.
If you're in an emergency, a distress, you need it.
Because, I mean, how many times I've seen this recent commercial, this poor lady drives off the road, a deer is staring at her straight in the face.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
She's, you know, disheveled, and
I don't know where I am.
I don't know where, and OnStar, boom. And then 911 was like, yo, we got to get that.
Dude, let me tell you where, and that says commercial.
Right.
Let me break it down for you on the real. So when we go up to Maine and we talk to our friends, the Cruises mm-hmm. up in Maine, up in Lake Parlin. Now Maine this area is very rural.
I mean, yeah,
rural.
It's hard to find folks to throw a baseball.
So
to.
In the winter up there, it is relatively common for you to be able to. You could slide off those roads,
right?
Well, some of those embankments can get relatively steep, and again, when there's very little traffic, and we noticed hours. Up there when we were up there a couple winters ago, where no way it would come through. Hours, Carlos. And on top of that, the ability of it to snow 2 to 4 feet
right.
in a 24-hour period. You're driving, slide off the road. Nobody knows where you are. One day of snow.
Right, you're done.
You're buried.
Yeah.
Nobody knows where the F you are. No way to tell where you went up the road because those tracks have been covered by snow.
And
they tell me that's happened. Like, people found it. There was another case that just came up on IDH Discovery where it was up in the mountain somewhere, went off an embankment. It was real kind of wooded. The lady was there for 3 effing days. Like, in the middle of summer, it was just so crowded with foliage.
It's like a retention pond here in Florida and you're like, it's right behind everybody.
Hey, Angel, right in front of you.
Angel, so imagine when your daughter gets old enough to drive, okay? She's 18 or whatever, or 16 or with friends and stuff. Would you want to be able to know where she's calling you? From like you call her and it tells you exactly where she's at. Isn't that a great? Wouldn't that be a great tool for a parent?
No, it's kind of intrusive.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. I mean, you'll change that.
No,
that will change when she's 16.
No, it won't. It's like you're getting them used to the big brother kind of things. If you've done as good as you can with your kid, you're going to trust them that when they call you. Why do I need to know where she's calling me every single time?
Because that inherently seems
like I don't trust the kid. I don't trust you so much that I need to know where you're calling me from.
I don't trust people. That's my problem.
Yeah,
but that's completely different. Like, for example, right now, she has the little tile thing on her backpack wherever she goes, right?
Yeah.
So I can pull that up on my phone because she's 7 years old. Right. If she's in college,
I'm in high school, 16.
Even in high school.
Well, that's when you really need to watch her, just so you know.
Nah, I have confidence in my parenting abilities.
Are you kidding me?
I'm keep kids away when she's not there, dude. I'm telling you.
I'm going to track my kid like I track my Uber Eats after 11 p.m.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
You know, I'm focused. I'm like, this dude needs to get here.
Why are you turning left there for?
Exactly. I was pissed at my guy the other day. I would do it until she was like 18 or she could have her own phone. I just wouldn't. I mean, and here's the thing. I knew I wouldn't be checking it every 5 seconds,
yeah.
And I would tell my daughter that, but I would also put it in her head like, hey,
I have this when I need to use it. Yeah. I don't want to spend my day checking you all out.
Right.
But if you're calling me, I hear some noise in the background. Are you at Manny's house?
But think about, I think about this too.
And I know you wouldn't be this way, but I think there is a part where kids want to know you care enough. Like if that, you can hear kids go, oh, my dad didn't care what I'm doing. And even check me. And the other like, oh, yeah, my parents. And they know you're checking because you care. They know you're checking because you love them. And I think that I think that they need to know that. Listen, I love you, boy. I'm gonna make sure you're doing the right thing.
Yeah,
you know, it's not that I'm not gonna say
monitoring you.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah,
and that's very Orwellian.
Maybe that's the way I grew up. That my parents checked on me, and I knew they loved me, and I knew they were just.
But your parents checked up on you in the sense of, oh, you're going to the park, okay, and I'm gonna swing by there and go check on you in the park. Right? Like, I mean, I remember as a kid going out, and I'm going out to play, and I'm out for hours.
Yeah, and then
I came back home.
Yeah, if I'd go somewhere, they'd be like, just call me when you get there. You know, let me know. I don't know. So the child knows you care, I think.
Yeah. It's not like a threat every single time they go out, like, I'm watching you or whatever. But it is a nice piece of technology to have to make sure they're safe.
But I think I think those are two different things. I think if you're a parent and you teach your kid, hey, you got a cell phone now, so when you get to wherever you're going, just give me a call or a text that you're there. That's the same thing. I don't need a monitoring device on you to let me know that you're telling the truth.
Yeah.
There was a couple times they probably should have known where I was. We got stuck in a ditch out in Pine Hills. They should have seen that coming.
Yeah.
Yeah, I should have seen that coming. It was me and Bo.
And you would sneak out late night to binge on subs?
No. I would sneak out of my window at night, a little fat kid, and I'd walk up to the Waffle House and go eat blueberry waffles at like 2 o'clock in the morning. And it was funny because the waitress would never say anything. They're like, oh, there's that kid again.
He must be one of them midgets. He's like, a fat little midget.
There's that kid getting blueberry waffles again. So now iPhone, if you have an iPhone and you call 911, they'll know exactly where you're calling from. What percentage of 911 calls do you think come from a cell phone?
Nowadays?
Yeah, nowadays.
85%.
It's 80%.
Whoa!
Yeah, 80% come from cell phones, and they don't know exactly where you're calling from. So it used to be, if you called from a landline, they knew exactly where you were calling
from. That's overwhelming.
They knew the address. So they were in the dark for most of the time that people would call from a cell phone. They didn't know where you were calling from. So that's why they say this is a really big deal.
I call 911 all the time when I see stuff. I saw fire the other day. Saw fire the other day on the side of the interstate. Saw straight up little fire that somebody had thrown a cigarette out.
Is that an emergency?
I think so. A fire on the side of the interstate.
Carlos's profile down their end. Lois is calling again.
I do, and the track, like giant things on the road, I'll call. Those things kill people, man.
What?
Call 911?
Yeah, I'll call 911. If I see a giant piece of metal in the middle of the road or I-4 I've seen before. Yeah.
Let me help you out a little bit with that.
Yeah.
I think it's Star FHP.
Is it?
It's Star or something like that. FHP is another one. So when I see people who are driving like a moron,
yeah,
like people who are driving drunk or acting like a damn fool, I will ring them up on Star FHP and I'll say, hey, between mile mark or whatever, you got a guy driving like a complete jackass.
I've done it
like three times in my entire life, but I thought it was so severe that it can actually cause someone problems. I mean, somebody driving so unbelievably out of control, sometimes on the road or off, with no regard to other people's lives.
I was just driving too slow, Jimmy. Yeah. You didn't call on me.
I wonder what percentage is that law enforcement can act on that call? Because think about this in the sense that you're calling about an event that's happening right at that moment.
In real time, yeah.
In real time, how quickly is a law enforcement officer able to get there and either witness it or monitor it or intervene?
Think about that, the idea of like, let me go back to Smokey and the Bandit. Remember that whole thing?
Yes, that documentary.
You cannot run the radio, right? So the idea of me calling, let's say it's happening right here in Altamont Springs. For you guys who don't live in the area, Altamont is one of the big exits off of I-4, a major thoroughfare through the city.
Right.
And I, at Altamont Springs exit 436, I see a guy driving super fast and erratically to the point where I think it could cause a massive problem in traffic and possibly cost lives. I Star FHP, if that happens to be what it is. Hey, I've got a guy driving like crazy, just rolled past 436. Well, what that says is they can make a call to anybody out there that's ahead of that path. So let's say they call down to Fairbanks Avenue or Lee Road. Hey, you have a car approaching, black SUV going in excess of 100 miles an hour coming your way. That's how they do it. And yeah, then they get somebody on the road and they maybe intervene.
Yeah, it's like smoking the bandit, Angel.
I know. I just think the mechanism to get that in place, it just seems like, I don't know if it happens fast enough. But I will tell you this. One of the things that I'm fascinated about tracking and getting information, right?
What?
So, I've been looking to the possibility of financing a car and everything, and I have been happening to have these conversations around my phone. Not necessarily on the phone, but around my
Tesla.
So I straight up got a text. Urgent. You are pre-approved for financial aid of up to $5,000 with our secure process. They just texted me that.
I don't even know
who this is.
Send your social security number over.
Yeah, it seems legit, right? Yeah.
Sorry, buddy. I got to tell you, I talk a little too much online about other people's business. So, my bad.
All right.
Oh, man, I thought I was going to get $5,000.
Yeah, no, you're not.
We have email to answer. If you ever want to email us, you can. Russ@WTCast.com, and we'll read those on the air. Also reminding you that we're going to do the Victory Casino Cruise coming up on July the 14th. It's going to be it's the Monsters, it's the guys from Real Laughs, all together. It's going to be a great time. It's only $10.41 to go on the cruise if you sign up through Real Radio. If you call them directly, it's going to cost you more. So you want to go through Real Radio, realradio.fm/victory, and you're going to get, when you pay the $10.41, you get a $15 voucher for food, and then a $10 voucher to play slots. So it's like we're paying you to go. You want to do it. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's July the 14th. It's the Monsters. It's the guys from Real Laughs all together for a big cruise. You're listening to the Monsters of the Morning. Hey, tomorrow on the Monsters, we're going to have the mascots will be in. Several mascots will be in for the mascot games. We'll be doing that this Saturday, so they'll be in tomorrow. Savannah is back from Mexico City, Mexico. So we'll talk to her, Nerdy News tomorrow, and then we'll be able to give you a Jurassic World review.
Absolutely. Seeing it tonight.
Going to the premiere tonight. So that's tomorrow on the Monsters of the Morning. Check it out. And here's a couple more shout-outs to people. I don't want to get way behind here, but this is Larry Sanderman listens to us in Prineville, Oregon. Shane Barron listens to us in Rochester, Michigan. And then Gary Rugg listens to us in Linear City, Tennessee. And we appreciate you doing that. That's on the iHeartRadio app. And, if you want to do a little shout-out, just go ahead and send it to me, russ@wtcast.com, and we can do that. This is an email that was sent to me by Amy. By the way, welcome back. I'm Russ Rollins, along with Dirty Jim, Angel, and Carlos, and you're listening to The Monsters. This is Amy sent this. She's 22 years old, a huge fan of the show. Says, I'm emailing you in hopes that you can help me and give me different advice than my friends are giving me. I need dating advice. To make a long story short, I've been with my boyfriend for 5 months now. I really love him, but he doesn't want to have sex with me because he says he's a germaphobe and he gets freaked out when it starts. My best friend Anna thinks he's gay and in the closet, but he told me about being a germaphobe the very first date. I thought I could handle it. It's really getting frustrating after 5 months. I don't know what to do because he's really trying hard to get over it.
Starts with an M.
How long should I give him to get over this? Has anyone else dealt with a germaphobe on the show, or any of the listeners dealt with this? Any suggestions on what I should do? And her name is Amy. So for 5 months, said the first date they went on, he said he was a germaphobe. She thought she could get over it. It's been 5 months, and he doesn't want to have sex because of being a germaphobe.
Well, yeah, I mean, you got to go. You got to go, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you got to go. I mean, again, we've talked about this before. If you're in a relationship with a woman and you're not having sex, you're not in a relationship with a woman that you think you are in. You're friends with a woman. Because I have friends that are women. I do not have sex with them. We're friends. I have sex with one woman. That's my wife. You know, that's one of those things. I mean, that separates that relationship, right?
So for Amy, yeah.
That defines it.
So Amy, yeah, if he's not having sex with you and
you're a buddy.
Then, yeah. But she does say he's really trying.
Trying what?
Trying to get over being a germaphobe.
I'm trying to like girls.
No, is that
I'm trying.
So being a germaphobe is a real thing, because we know like Howie Mandel has it. There's been other people that have talked about being a germaphobe, and it's a real thing.
Do you want to sign up for this boat ride, though, really? Like, I mean, come on, man. 5 months in, you haven't had sex, germaphobe, you're not connected to them. Dump them. Get rid of them. This is a lot of work to build into something that is natural. I'm not saying that if people have issues with that.
She does say, I really love him.
There's plenty of other dudes out there that will bang you the first night.
But he won't have sex with me Because he's a germaphobe, yeah, and he gets freaked out when we start.
Dude's gay. Dude's got to be gay.
That's what.
Who's got to be gay?
Yeah. Why does he have to be gay? Can it be? Can he really be a germaphobe? Is that real?
Have you ever, in the history of all your friends,
never heard of this?
Known a dude?
No.
That would look at a woman that is willing to have sex with him. Because that's the thing. When a woman is willing to, oh my God, how wonderful is this? I'm about to do this, and they say no for germaphobe reasons. Come on, man.
Dude is gay. The texting service is saying, dude is gay. The dude is gay.
They're like, yay.
Yeah, you should go be with a dude. Be happy. Yeah, sweet, sure. Awesome gay love.
Now, hold on. I'm wondering, though, is it fair to automatically say the guy is gay? I mean, could
no,
he,
Russ.
Okay.
It's not fair.
I just want to make sure I'm on the right train here. He could be a straight guy, but just really has a problem with the germ thing.
Why would you want to be around that? But yeah, if you have the choice of breaking, you're not married. Look, you find out somebody had that.
But I love him. But I love him, Carlos.
I know, girl.
I love him.
Isn't that asking a lot of someone in a relationship?
Oh yeah,
that's asking someone a lot. I mean, that's like saying, "Hey, you mind changing religions?"
Right? It's a huge, thing to overcome a sex to embark on teaching somebody how to have sex with somebody because you have that.
And she's 22, so she's really young.
Oh my God!
Yeah. Does it say if she's ugly?
It does not say if she's ugly.
No, she's fat and ugly.
She's a listener who's a sweet young lady. I'm sure.
It's a little jokey. Jimmy said no there.
But it's funny though. That is the first thing you think. Oh, he must be gay if he doesn't want to have sex. It can't be germophobia, because to us that makes
germophobia.
That makes no sense to us.
Texting service checking and saying, hypersensitive as always, saying he's a girlophobe.
Yeah. Yuck.
Yeah, he's a girlophobe.
Yuck.
Yeah, and you know, there are things. Isn't it a guy that has a girlfriend who is not out, who has a girl that's close to him, so that he can seem to not be gay? Isn't that called a beard or something? Isn't there a word for that?
Is it a beard?
So maybe she's just a beard and doesn't know it.
Yeah. A lot of women deal with dudes that have a relationship from the past that they find out they were gay. I think a good portion of women you can talk to, they're like, yeah, actually, the guy ended up being gay. They dated. They were going to date. I mean, it's pretty damn common.
Hold on. But we keep going back to him being gay. But she says he's a germaphobe. So what if it was, okay, listen, I don't know. I'm trying to think of something else that would keep you from having sex. I can't think of anything else.
Literally, it's going to be being gay.
A little, yeah.
There's being gay and there's being
that
a German.
And a little baby Trump wall will help you stop. I mean, you can't. That's other than that, guys are going to do it.
Yeah, it's true.
I don't know. I've never heard of that. Angel, you ever heard of this?
What about, okay.
Germophobia.
I love my boyfriend, but he has an alcohol problem. How long should you stick around with that? Or I love my my boyfriend and he has a gambling problem. Or, there are other things that people have.
That still doesn't separate you from your physical connection with that person.
Yeah, I know.
Sorry to interrupt, but I mean.
No, I know. I was trying to make some other sort of argument because women stay with guys who have issues a lot of time. This particular issue happens to be that it's germs that it keeps you away from sex. Yeah, Amy, you got to dump this dude.
Texting service checking in again, 77031. Just save that for all the real radio shows. We love it. The guy says here, I'm a germaphobe, and because of that, I never have sex with my wife. Just kidding, dude's gay.
Oh, God.
There is such thing of a germaphobe's guide to safe sex, though.
Is there?
Yeah, there's a step one.
I bet that's a hoot.
Yeah. They call, there's a step one is clean kissing.
Well, how do you do that?
I call it with my wife.
So if before you start kissing, you have to brush, you have to floss, you have to use mouthwash religiously. And that's the process to start kissing.
Mm.
So you have to do that before that. There's clean touching.
Now we do have a guy, clean touching.
Yeah, so basically you have to decontaminate. Basically, before you do anything, you have to, for lack of a better term, decontaminate.
God, Carlos is right. I don't have to clock in to have sex with my wife.
Step three is clean sex. So you've managed to kiss and touch, minimal germs transmitted. Now we get naked. You have to, body parts must use with protection.
Oh, yeah.
Guy says here, now, then, being serious, I mean, we're doing jokey stuff on the texting service, but guy says here, I'm gay. I did that early on.
Yeah.
He goes, he's definitely gay.
My girl, she says she's a germaphobe. I'm like, I'm a germaphan because I get dirty.
I'm a germaphan.
Okay. If you come with me, you better come correct because I'm looking for the germs.
So you think there are guys
that, I'm
a fan of crevices.
They want everyone to think that they're straight, so they'll date girls, but then when they get in the bedroom, like, listen, I'm a germaphobe.
Yeah,
so that way it looks like we're dating, looks like I have a girlfriend.
Right.
But no one's going to, You think
a woman would put up with it, though. A guy, 2 seconds, that first date off Tinder, like,
oh,
I have
a germaphobe.
Oh, I'm going to go to the bathroom. I'll be right back.
Right.
Texting service again.
You can pay for dinner.
Yeah. Or gems. He goes, dude, I love germs. Give me them digits.
Exactly.
Well, Amy, pretty much, I like to fight for love as much as possible, Amy, but I can't help you on this one.
What's the name of your first single?
Guy says here as well, he goes, I'll tell you what, I'll be the physical part. You can lead on him for emotions.
You know what the best advice for him? She should look at him and say, hey, look, I'm so sorry about your condition, but I think you need to find somebody else that also has your condition. And right, then you guys
those
should
be the two most miserable people.
Oh, no,
on
you
that.
Grow together. You
yeah,
know,
you two grow together.
And
grow
together,
not
together
having
and,
sex.
Yeah. She does say she loves him, though. I mean, she said, you know, they've been dating for 5 months, and I really love him. But he won't have sex with me because he's a germaphobe, and he gets freaked out when we get started.
How about this, guys? What famous actress is on record as saying as a germaphobe? And I think you guys would be surprised by this, because I think her persona and certain pictures that were leaked about her give you an idea that she's a wild child.
Jennifer
Lawrence is a professed germaphobe.
Yeah.
She showed us where they would be.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We know where the germs are.
Yeah.
Yeah. Friend of mine saw that, told me about it.
But I wonder
same
if she's that bad of a germaphobe, though. I wonder if it's like...
She's, if you read...
she doesn't like to have sex with the germs.
There's an article that she has that it's in Glamour magazine, and she talks in, and the language that she uses there obviously doesn't lend itself to radio, but she's, I am mostly a germaphobe. It gets to the point in sexual encounter where STD transmission is possible.
Yeah.
And doctors have already been involved, blah, blah, blah. So she gets tested regularly before you can even get anywhere near having sex with...
How do you do that? Be you, get, you finally get in bed with Jennifer Lawrence, you find out she's a germaphobe.
Oh, yeah.
You wait that out, though. You wait that
one
out.
Oh, yeah, just to see it.
You wait it out.
Just real quick, I mean, I know we have just minutes left, but like, could you fall in love with somebody that you did not have a physical relationship with?
That's what happened to the girl that just wrote the email, Jimmy.
Yeah, no, but I'm kind of questioning the whole thing. That's what I'm saying is, like, for any of you guys, could you fall in love with somebody? Could you consider yourself in love without a physical aspect to the relationship?
Yeah, no, it's probably that's the one thing that keeps that makes it, you know.
Well, because that's going to be such a big part of your life moving forward, right?
Oh, you know what? What something that we didn't think about in reading Lawrence's article, this is what she's concerned. What if this dude has an STD that he's not revealing yet?
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's only 5 months in.
And he says, I'm a germaphobe, but he really doesn't want to give her, like, the clap or whatever he's got.
Or something worse.
Yeah, or something worse.
Clap's manageable, right?
I mean, hey, the HPV, that's...
That's a bad one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't deal with that.
Victory Casino Cruise is coming up on July 14th. Join us by going to realradio.fm/victory. Realradio.fm/victory. It's the guys from Real Laughs. They're going to perform on the way out. You got Devin Siebel, you got Miguel Colon, and James John. I'm going. Carlos is going.
Oh, yeah.
Bo the Big Man's going with us. Vince Taylor's going with us. It's going to be a great time. So join us on July the 14th by just going to realradio.fm/victory. Also, we are really excited about the Monster Midway Sweet Party at the Coke Zero Sugar 400. This is a great time, and it's a great deal when you get the tickets. Just call 1-800-PIT-SHOP. That's 1-800-PIT-SHOP. Angel will be spinning tunes. We're all going to be there. It's going to be a lot of fun. And then this coming Saturday is the mascot games. When we do the mascot games, I get to coach. Angel gets to coach. Carlos and Savannah's going to coach this year. And it's a lot of fun for the kids. They'll love it. It's to benefit New Hope for Kids. It's the mascot games this coming Saturday, 2:00 at the Amway Center. Dirty Jim, tonight you'll be cooking?
Oh, yeah, cooking. And we're revealing a $1,000 gift we're giving away in a couple weeks. Plus, we want you to go to our website, Primetime Kitchen's Facebook page, and get tickets for our boozy brunch coming up at Tapaturo this Sunday. It's going to be a blast. And we have like a $300 Yeti cooler we're giving away. Plus other cool stuff.
Ooh, very good. All right. Anything else? Everybody good? All right. Stay tuned for the News Junkie right after the Monsters at 3 o'clock. It's the one and only Jim Phillips and the Phil Saw. Hey, then it's Tom and Dan. Then it's Real Laughs with Monster Comics. And then we're back to do our thing tomorrow from Dirty Jim, Angel, and Carlos Navarro.
And the leader of this mess, the merry man, Russ. I see aliens, Rollins.
Hey, thank you so much for listening. We ain't got to go home.
We got to get the hell out of here.
Shrew.
Now that we've all quit Facebook and started talking to each other again. What's that? Nobody's quit Facebook? Facebook.com/RealRadioOrlando. Real Radio 104.1.
is on. The three best friends you never knew you had, running through the most viral stories of the day. The news junkie Sean Wasson with Sabrina and C-Lane.
It's the news junkie for a Tuesday, June 19, 2018. Lots to get to today. From the Kids in Cages debate continues to if your child breaks something, are you financially responsible? And a politician's bizarre ad is seriously a dumpster fire. Plus your calls, dispatches, emails, texts, and more. Hey there, Sabrina.
Hello.
Hello, C-Lane.
Good morning.
Man, lots going on today. And of course, we'll get to it. Your thoughts, your input, everything else on the dispatches side of things. Now C-Lane's trying to get me back into Westworld all of a sudden here.
I need somebody with me. I've watched all 9 episodes of this season, and there's one more airing on Sunday.
Ooh. It's the final episode of the season on Sunday already?
Yeah.
Oh, I've watched the first 3 and I don't know what's going on.
Well, don't worry if this goes like the last one. Once this season ends, you'll have 3 years to catch up with the episodes that were just released.
So just watch and overanalyze every episode multiple times.
I know how that is, though. When you're watching a show and nobody else is watching it, or you don't have somebody to go, oh my God, did you see this with? It's frustrating as hell.
It is. You need a partner.
Uh-huh.
The thing is, nobody's caught up. Like, there's people that are still kind of watching and on board, and so I don't want to ruin it for them, but I need you to be closer to my level.
Give me an episode.
Like, I have a rule with shows like this. The 2 main ones right now, Westworld and Better Call Saul, where I won't go on their subreddit until I've seen the latest aired.
Of course.
Because I don't want... There's going to be... all kinds of spoilers as much as they try and mask those. I just don't want to take part in the conversation until I'm to the level of everybody else. So at least I have that.
Have you tried an online forum?
Reddit. That's what he's saying he's trying to avoid.
No, but I mean, if you're all caught up, then you could live chat with each other or at least discuss it.
I haven't been in a chat room.
You could send your ASLs.
I mean, besides the news junkie chat room.
I'm trying to look for one for Grey's Anatomy, but fortunately, I met your girlfriend, and that's who I blow up every Thursday night.
You got to have that catch-up moment when you're watching a show like that.
Not before I do.
Where you can kind of relive what happened and go into your theories. I've done that many times before. It's frustrating when somebody else isn't caught up with you. Speaking of getting caught up, my good God, I'm about done with all the insanity with the story about these poor kids who are being held at the detention centers along the border and elsewhere. It's a sad, unfortunate story. Like, it gets worse and worse. The audio of the kids crying in there, and people just get more and more partisan and further away from reality with their reactions. And it's one of these things, and maybe you're like me, maybe you're not, but it's one of these things where you feel so stuck. You feel like the radical representation on either side is so zany and so out there that you're a person on their own. And what I'm talking about here is just some of the reactions to this. Let me go back before anybody starts freaking out. It's definitely a bad thing that kids are detained in cages and they have space blankets and they're sleeping on the floor, sometimes on mattresses on the floor, but sometimes just on the floor, and something that's been going on for far too long. There needs to be a better setup, a better way to handle this, and it needs to be, and I think it will be done quickly here. But the debate about this just goes into insane territories. I mean, yesterday, on one side, on CNN, you had this, used to be a respected retired general, Michael Hayden, who tweets out a photograph of a Nazi concentration camp and attempts to compare what's happening with these young immigrant kids to the folks who were slaughtered in these Nazi concentration camps, be it, whichever one you want to point out, and goes on CNN and then attempts to defend that. Like, they're comparing this on one side to these young kids. We're now Nazis, and we're going to kill them, we're going to starve them, and blah, 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 which is not even close to what is happening here. So this is what you're getting on one side here.
I've been to that camp actually several times, John. I walked down that railroad siding where the families were separated, and that's why I used that picture. That's the scene where families were separated.
Good God.
I know we're not Nazi Germany, all right? But there is a commonality there and a fear on my part that we have standards we have to live up to.
The comparison, though, is one that critics latch onto, and they will note, among other things, that the Jews who walked through that door did not choose to walk through that door at Birkenau. The families going to the border, the parents are choosing to go there. The parents crossing the border have committed a crime, whether it be a misdemeanor or a felony. You could argue they've committed a crime. The people who walked through that gate at Auschwitz-Birkenau, they had committed no crime.
So you got one side saying, look, this is like a Nazi concentration camp. These kids are comparatively being treated as the Jews were under the SS. Then you have on the other side, and again, this is why you just feel smushed between freaks and morons. You have Laura Ingraham last night on Fox News legitimately attempting to compare what's happening to fun at a summer camp.
So since more illegal immigrants are rushing the border, more kids are being separated from their parents and temporarily housed in what are essentially summer camps, or as the San Diego Union Tribune described them today, as looking like basically boarding schools. Having lost the argument, and frankly the last election, liberals have seized on the separated children and turned the entire image into a political weapon.
Yeah, so what you have here is you have either these are Nazi concentration camps or they're summer camps. Or they're just a place where we're taking kids and bringing them away from their families for weeks at a time in some occasions because of policies that really are just not making sense right now. Or nor did they make sense during the previous administration or the one before it. And so you find yourself, or at least I do, smashed in the middle of idiots here. And what I hope will happen, and I do, I believe this may even happen today. It could come up on a vote today or a little bit later on this week. There's two bills out there. They're both okay. One's by Dianne Feinstein. The other one's by Senator Ted Cruz. I like Ted Cruz's bill. He's saying that all Americans are rightly horrified by the images we're seeing on the news. Children in tears pulled away from their mothers and fathers. This must stop now. Cruz's bill would double the number of federal immigration judges from 375 to 750. That is fantastic. More people to process these situations when somebody comes through illegally and says, I'm here for asylum, even though they didn't go through a proper border point to do so. We can push that and expedite it through. It would also set up temporary shelters to accommodate families who would, under the current policy, be separated. Ted Cruz's bill also says that families should stay together except for two occasions, when there's criminal conduct or when there's a threat of harm to the children. So you would keep these families today. It also says, and some people don't like this, I do, it said there would be expedited processing and review of asylum cases so that they would be judged within 14 days. That is something that has pretty broad appeal and should get the votes that it needs if it's put up for a vote this week. I think it will be. I think it needs to be. I think the optics of this debate are ugly. I think what it's doing to people is ugly. I think people are just going completely unhinged on this. Some of them really care about the kids. Some of them don't. Some of them on both sides do not care about the kids that are in these places.
No. They're immigrants. They're people coming into the country illegally. That's it.
Well, I think both sides are doing that. I think the left does this as well, where they just use them as props. And they go, oh, these poor kids. And then they want to get some open borders nonsense pushed through. So you're stuck between the give and take of people who are trying to give or take everything. And it's just all over the place. I mean, I don't personally believe that you can have a tenable situation where you just let everybody run through. And that will happen. We will empty Guatemala through the southern border because Mexico will make a beeline path for them like they've always done. And this country will fill with people that we're not ready to support. That's not a tenable situation over a long period of time. However, you can't take these kids and use them as a punishment for their families, which is exactly what is happening. The kids are being used as a punishment against their families. Oh, yeah, if we get them thinking that we're going to take away their kids, they'll be less likely to do it. That hasn't worked necessarily yet. Maybe it does, but it's still a terrible thing to use them as the punishment in this case. And, of course, this is after so many other things have popped out, and you're just getting started. You got the attorneys involved in this, immigration attorneys releasing stuff like this, the audio of the kids at one of these facilities upset and crying. Crying for mom. You know, you get the point.
But this is really what's happening, though.
Of course it is. Right, but I mean, there are other sides of this to think. There's a six-year-old in that clip, one of the people, one of the kids you hear crying, a six-year-old from El Salvador. Her mother saved up money and sent her with coyotes to cross the border and go into the U.S. all on her own with these people that she did not know. I mean, that also is something to look at. All of these things. Well, the folks who smuggle people from country to country, the folks who often abuse people that they're transporting from one place to another or bring them to a place they're not supposed to. This is ugly all over the place. And if you sit there and just point your fingers and go, you over here, you don't care, or you over here, you don't care, certainly that's true to some extent. But there's also lunatics running away with the debate, as there always is. If they pass this bill that Ted Cruz has put up, or the one that Dianne Feinstein is pushing, because it's kind of the same except for the expedited asylum claims in 14 days, everything will be a whole lot better off. So I think that's where we're at on that. I'm sure a lot of people will be pissed off about it either way, just because that's the way the world works. But we'll get to your dispatches and many, many more stories today. Fun, sad, happy. It's always a gamut of emotions. And I didn't even know the MTV Movie Awards were still a thing. They were last night. There were some moments there that caught on. We'll talk about that.
You watched it?
No. I watched a couple of clips afterwards. I saw that they were doing some red carpet thing. Honestly, I had no idea that this was going on. But there were some interesting moments worth talking about. Plus, your thoughts in the dispatches next. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.